If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Yeah, I got back right here.
I got my headset on.
Your hair looks so good. It's just...
Your hair looks quite nice.
Yeah, but yours is like stirring me right now.
I don't know if that's good.
Shut up.
Everybody say hey!
Hey!
Oh! Everybody scream!
Hey, remember that time lightning shut up? Oh, wait, that never happened.
Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May? Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May? When I hear her voice, with myself I want to play. Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May?
And now...
Our feature presentation.
How dare you?
He never just lets it be. Never. Can't happen. Well, not once.
Letting it be's not funny.
No.
That's the problem.
Of course not. Fine. Go ahead.
All right. We
mock
will.
Me.
Fantastic. We're good with Lisa. She says mocker. Okay. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the last day of January.
Well, it's the last time I get to play
it. Wow.
So might as well enjoy it.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, I just saw intern Sarah in the studio a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Did I see in the flurry O emails last week, did I see that she's leaving us, that she's saying goodbye?
I believe so, yeah.
Is it because of me?
Well, no. If it was because of you, she would have left a long time ago.
Exactly.
Because I love her so much, and she will be mine. Now I feel like she's slithering away from my grasp.
She's probably running from you, but I think we saw with Psycho Mike that she can handle herself. When she dropped him.
Yep.
Right. Hit him with the balls. Right.
Dropped him right to the ground.
Serve.
Oh, that was strong. I mean,
for
really?
Folks who don't know, Kevin pays interns a crisp $20 bill if they whack Psycho Mike in the nuts when he's not looking. That's the kind of work environment we've got going on here.
And usually, you know, it's funny and they'll hit me kind of hard and I'll go, ow. No. Shaolin Robot kind of grazed the package and... Sarah came in here and just dropped me. I mean, shaft destruction with the fist. It was just absolute obliteration.
Yeah, it was good.
It's funny that Mike thinks he can take on 105-year-olds, yet one 20-year-old can pretty much put him to the ground.
Well,
yeah. She was good at hiding it, though. He didn't see it coming, and that's
right.
Is that it? Can you tense something to make it less painful?
Oh, yeah, but you can move. You can back up or whatever.
Sarah was smart. She's talking to Kevin about show-related stuff right next to me, and goes on with this conversation for 35, 45 seconds so that my mind starts to wander. Shaolin Robot would be like, can I have a hug?
Yeah, that was her.
She's never touched me in the entire time she's been here.
Right. That was her smooth move.
All of a sudden, she wants a hug.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm going to miss Sarah very much, and wherever she's going, I think I'm going to have to go work there instead. I'm going to have to transfer.
Fantastic.
She's going off to be an intern somewhere else.
She is, yeah.
Somewhere better.
At a TV station.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go work for the TV station. That's my point. I'm going wherever she goes.
Are they hiring you? Do they have a job for you?
I don't have any idea, but I'm going to have to start looking into that right after the show today.
Now, we have our intern program, and they do it for a semester, and then they have to move on, except for Beer Mug.
We love Beer Mug. He's staying.
We love Sarah, too, but she's broke up with us. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't keep living in the house after they break up with you. You know?
That's true.
That's not acceptable.
Hey, I don't know. You guys tell me if this is a great idea. You can now order Domino's Pizza online. You don't even have to call the store anymore. You can order it online, and you can track it like a FedEx track. you can see when the order was received, who took the order, when they put the pizza in the oven, who put it in the oven, when it gets in the box, when it leaves the store. Estimated time of arrival at your house, what your driver's name is, all in advance online when you order the pizza.
Oh, funny.
Why? Were you exaggerating or why would we need to know who put it in the oven?
I guess it's, you know,
Bill,
just like
he's
with,
good. That Bill puts a mean pizza in the oven.
Just like with FedEx, I guess, and we've all run into this if we mail any kind of packages, that sometimes there's a breakdown in the system and you need to know who to ask what happened.
I guess.
And I think that's why they do
it. The point of that pizza is that it comes fast. If some dude is, like, entering when he puts the pizza in on the computer and then when he took it out and then when it got... I mean,
instead
come
of typing, how about help make the pizza?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Domino's Domino's is going to be unveiling this nationwide, and they say that the times on the site about your order are accurate to within 40 seconds. You can track it.
I don't...
it's maybe just... Not necessary?
I don't need that much information.
Well, certainly not necessary.
The idea behind calling and ordering a pizza is you make a phone call and then, it's already here. Fantastic.
Seems easier to me than going online.
That's it.
I sometimes will want a pizza but don't want to have to talk to icky people. So for a guy like me who would prefer to live online, this is actually better.
Ordering online is superior.
It's the bomb, right?
Why?
Yes. Let me tell you why. For two reasons.
By the way, Psycho Mike is Mini Bean. He's Bean Jr.
Heading in my direction.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to agree with Bean. You don't have to talk to anybody. That's a big plus.
Yes,
whether you're a shut-in Bean and I or not, that's a huge plus. B, you get to look at like a Domino's pizza and then kind of click and toggle between what you want. And when you're on the phone, you're like, I want pepperoni and mushroom, unless you order the same thing every time. Whereas I can look at the pizza and then I can toggle through thin crust, thick crust. Double stuff. Then I'm like, and you put on a pizza, visual pizza. You can put on bell peppers, and then like look at it. You're like, no, half, double cheese.
Can I ask you a question?
Like, you don't even order pizza, by the way.
Well, I mean, it's been over a year.
How does it help to look at bell peppers on a pizza?
Well, you can visualize a pizza, and
I can do that in my mind.
I know. Well, but you're a guy who orders a lot of pizza and maybe knows exactly what he wants. I'm sometimes like, I know I want pizza, can't really decide what I want. Sometimes I'm like. Dude, Hawaiian's big time. So I'll look at a Hawaiian, but I'll be like, only half. Bam, double cheese on the other side. And I'm looking, I'm creating it. You know, I'm going.
Let me ask you a question.
Going straight Picasso style on my pizza.
Let me ask you a question, you and Shut-In up there. When you order a pizza, when you call, and that there is a person on the other end, I don't think they ever want to make chit-chat. You know, they just go, what do you want? Okay, it's going to be 30 minutes. And they hang up. They don't go, hey, Bean, how was your date today?
That's not true, dude.
Yes, it is true.
100% of the time.
Says the guy that doesn't order pizza.
No, but when I do, 100% of the time, they're deficient in English. Always.
That's going to be my point, exactly. It's not chit-chat. It's just trying to get the information across in a way that you believe they've absorbed it properly. The Pizza Hut that I call, and this is Domino's we're talking about with the system, but I think Pizza Hut may have something similar, too. They barely speak English, and I always feel like they're getting the order wrong. And Mike's also right, by the way, that they don't run down everything they've got on the menu that's available to you. That is kind of another advantage I didn't even think of. When you're already on the website, you might see, I didn't even think about the salad. Oh, I didn't even know they had those kind of breadsticks. You know, I mean, there's a lot of advantages, I think, to go on.
You get the whole menu visually in front of you.
And I can't believe we're still talking about
this. I can't either. What kind of lazy bastards are you? How much time do you have to order a pizza? Don't you guys do anything with your lives?
No. And when a pizza comes and I order it online, it's a better situation. It's a better experience for me because I've had a chance to run down the whole menu visually. Thank you.
And you haven't had to talk to a foreigner.
Raymond Hill. Is it Raywan? Raywan Hill? Raywan? No. The street is R-A-Y. Why?
Well, they do outsource that to India. So
they do. You are calling India.
It doesn't really bode well.
All right. Well, that's the good news. You can check out the Domino's website if you want to find out if it's available in your area. But I was excited to see it. I thought it was good. Anytime they can put something online and eliminate you having to interact with humans, I think that's a step in the right direction.
I think there's going to have – would you shut the F up for 1 second?
You don't have
you
to –
you understand what shut the – Sorry.
Whoa,
I almost said it.
Whoa.
Shut up. Just for a second. Shut up. Bean, you understand that you're gonna have to at some point maybe fight the urge to withdraw completely from society. I mean, maybe it would be good for you to every once in a while.
But I do. I mean, there are some things that will still draw me out of the house with excitement. Jury duty is a perfect example. I would not have wanted to serve online. That you want to go to in person and be there for the magic. You know what I mean? So there are still some things that will get me out of the house. I'm not going to be the guy with the 400 dogs and the newspaper stacked up to the ceiling.
You're already that guy. What are you talking about? I'm not going to be that guy.
I'm not going to be that guy.
All right. We're going to talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show in just 1 second. I was watching Jimmy Kimmel Live last night, and I wanted to bring this up because I was not aware what a poor English speaker Emmett Smith is.
Oh,
I was not aware of that. I didn't. Emmitt Smith, of
Does
course.
He work for a Domino's?
Former running back for the Dallas Cowboys, mainly. And he is commenting, and Jimmy put together a montage of clips of him destroying the English language. He makes President Bush like he looks like he's brilliant.
Oh, wow.
He's something, and this is Emmitt Smith. You'll hear some laughing. It's Jimmy's audience because he's showing it to them. But this is Emmitt Smith on many different occasions talking about, especially the football games coming up to Super Bowl.
You look back when they played against the Patriots, they had a lot of penalties and gave up over 100 yards in penalties. And yesterday, the same thing kind of occurred in the Giants.
What kind of inconsistency play going up against a team like New England would get you completely blowed out?
He's been injured. We haven't seen enough of him. And that offense do look good when he's in the game.
I think it's Eli Manning. Eli Manning has been given the rites of passage.
Don't worry about the game we just won or the team that we just blew out. Blown out. Let's think about what we need to do going forward. And they had the blown out.
He gives me hope. I could be a color analyst for
for
football.
You'll never be a colored analyst just because you talk
blowed
like
out, dude. I could do that. Blowed out.
That was amazing.
I wasn't talking about the color of skin, Bean.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have a friend of ours, Trevor, who works here at the radio station, who has seen a UFO and videotaped it. And
sweet.
We're going to point you. It's on the website already if you want to look at it, okay. Kevin and Bean page. So we're going to talk to him because we're obsessed with UFOs, Bean especially.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he just so wants it to be true. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin in the next hour.
Good times.
Oh, a lot of news overnight.
It is... there's no rest with, if you're covering Britney Spears, you know, at 1 a.m., it's very different than 3 a.m. Stuff happens every minute of the day.
Yeah.
Especially this morning.
And this morning has been a crazy morning if you're just waking up. She went back to got taken back to the hospital, to the psych ward, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a huge deal, and there was cops, you know, there was like 12 cops leading the procession to the hospital. Tell me why, I don't know.
Wow.
It's a run-through to put her in the back of the car and take her to the hospital. It's a run-through for when they're heading to the cemetery in about a month, by the way, with the police escort.
That's
what it looks like.
So anyway, we're going to talk to Harvey coming up in the 6 o'clock hour and try to figure out what the hell's going on with that.
Okay.
Also, you know, we wanted to talk to Harvey about something else, something that happened yesterday or the day before.
That's right.
You can't do it. There's too much between now and then. Highlights of American Idol last night. Apparently another one of the bad shows.
Good.
You should have watched last night, Kevin, and I'll tell you why. You could have had the sound down. It was in Miami.
Ooh, hot.
The most beautiful. I thought you were watching America's Next Top Model last night with that show. It's unbelievable how many beautiful contestants they had on that show last night. It was great.
Same as Oklahoma City or wherever they were the day before?
not quite the same caliber you got in Omaha, no.
Omaha, right. Mayor Villaraigosa is going to fix all of our public transportation. That's good news.
Yes, I'm
Wow,
thrilled.
That'll make him popular if he can do that.
We've been arguing off the air about which athletes are the toughest, and we're not any closer to deciding that.
Yeah,
because Ralph doesn't see the real news. You know, the truth. That's the problem. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, and that's coming up.
Ralph Garmer is here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
We're not going to have too much coverage in this particular Showbiz Break about the Britney Spears incident last night, because we will have Harvey Levin on from TMZ.com, and he'll give you all the details. But just a real quick overview, she was taken to UCLA hospital last night at the request of her psychiatrist, who called the cops, him or herself, and said, "She's crazy."
So she was actually seeing a psychiatrist.
Well, she was started this week, apparently.
Okay. I didn't know if that was true or not.
Psychiatrist went, "Whoa!"
When I first saw the story, I thought, oh, this is an old story. No, happened again.
Yeah. Well, you know, the rumor had been for the past week or so that she was finally acquiescing and going to see a mental health professional, try to get some help for her bipolar disorder, whatever they're calling it. And the psychiatrist talked to her for a while and said, "You're nuts!" So he called the cops and said that she was engaging in reckless and downhill behavior.
Downhill behavior?
And that her driving was so reckless she would be a danger to herself or others, which we've all known for some time
now. The magic words to get someone committed.
Exactly,
right?
Lisa May.
Yep.
What do you mean the magic words?
You got to prove
it. Oh, you have to be a danger to yourself
danger.
Or
oh,
others in order for the cops to show
How did he see her
up.
Drive? Or just he didn't think she could do it?
I don't know, man. Huh. You got Harvey coming on in like 10 right. minutes. You can ask him all the magical questions.
There's a guy, Ralph, you probably have seen this guy, who works for Blender, who got a job with the paparazzi, followed that pack for a few weeks to write an article for the magazine.
Oh, I didn't see that.
The stories he tells about Britney, about her pulling U-turns at unbelievable speeds in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard and heading down the wrong way toward other cars.
Yeah, she was just seen going down the wrong side of Sunset at 100 miles an hour last week. I mean, I think it's pretty common knowledge that her driving is...
It's a miracle she hasn't killed herself or others just with the driving. Forget all the other erratic behavior.
So the cops were called. She went to UCLA Medical Center for treatment, and she is currently in their care. And there's a big battle going on between her family and this Sam Lufty, who apparently she has given all of her medical decisions, all the power of making the medical decisions to him.
Legally?
Versus the family. So they're not too pleased about that. And the hits just keep on coming in the Britney Spears soap opera. It's magical. Let's talk about something more entertaining, shall we?
Yes.
This weekend is the Super Bowl.
Yes, it is.
And I couldn't be more excited. So Sirius Satellite Radio, also very excited, went to the big stars and asked them for their picks for who's going to win the big game this weekend.
Oh, thank God, because I'm getting ready to put some bets down. Well, I don't know.
Well, then you should go to Sirius Satellite Radio, because they have on their website given you the picks of all the superstars. Who will the A-list celebrities be picking for the Super Bowl game?
That sounds unnecessary.
They asked Deepak Chopra.
Okay.
Deepak says that the Patriots will win 17-13. Because their chakra is apparently more balanced.
Is that right?
No, he didn't say that, but who knows why he would think. Jay Thomas.
Jay Thomas.
They asked Jay Thomas.
Nope.
That name may be familiar to you. He used to do the morning show over on, what was it, Power?
Power 106, yeah.
Wow. Used to be a regular on Cheers. Played Carla's husband for a while. He says it's going to be 28-21, Pats.
Okay.
All right.
Good news.
There you go. Let's see what Nina Blackwood has to say. Original MTV VJ.
No way.
Yeah.
You said celebrities.
These are the A-listers, man. You don't know. Patriots 30, Giants 24.
Well, these are all revelations, because I was going with the Giants wholeheartedly.
I think the through line here is all of these people have shows on the Sirius Satellite channels. I think that's maybe how they had access to them for the first place, and also why they chose these particular people.
I got you.
Way to suck the comedy right out of the bit, Bean. Appreciate it. It's good, strong. It's good
times. Sorry, just think it out loud.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Not so much out loud. Maybe next time inside your head have those thoughts.
Hey, Ralph, do you mind? I got a... Oh, he's gone. We had DeJuan on hold. He had a major breaking...
We could have got his Super Bowl pick.
Entertainment showbiz report story for
call
us.
Call back, DeJuan, if you're listening.
DeJuan, call us back.
That was the longest unnecessary sentence ever.
There were a lot of unnecessary words in there. That's correct.
Showbiz story entertainment. Showbiz breaking longest ever story.
You know what I mean.
Richard Simmons says 27-10.
You're going
Patriots.
On.
Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
And then he said,
anyone picking the Giants?
What's football?
Let's see. Vinny Pastore from The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots 34, Giants 17. He's turning against his own Giants. How about that?
Dude. Yeah.
And lastly, but certainly not least, Mojo Nixon.
Who is that?
Okay. You know Mojo Nixon.
I don't.
The legendary singer-songwriter of Don Henley Must Die. Or whatever that song was.
What are you talking about?
Dude, come on. The joke is that nobody knows who these people are. What do you want me to defend the celebrities?
Yes, I
asked?
Would like that.
Okay, well, Mojo Nixon. Blah, 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 blah. Mojo Nixon. You two belong together. You should be a radio team.
Ralph's lost heart.
Yes.
You call yourself the Ralph, comedy
you seem a little down
in
today.
The morning.
You well, seem down. What's
out
going
of the
on?
Shoot, I'm being slapped to the ground. I'm
no one's slapping
the
you
gut.
To the ground. I thought we were having a conversation about the celebrities. I apologize. I wasn't trying to deflate your comedy. I
bringing actual news about the serious picks.
Well,
the
I
point
know that.
Of the bit was they're asking lame-ass celebrities.
I know, and I was just
who
suggesting
cares?
why they chose those celebrities. I don't think that necessarily killed that they're doing it in the first place.
You guys know we're on the air, right?
My favorite New York Giants fan, the only New York Giants fan I like, actually, Jason Biggs, has made an announcement. He, of course, of American Pie. He told Us Weekly magazine that he is engaged to his girlfriend, Jenny Mullen, who is very lovely and attractive. And the two are going to get married soon. No word on when the date will be set. In fact, he's threatening to elope because he says he's not sure if he wants to deal with the insanity of putting a wedding together. I can surely
that
appreciate
smart.
That, but I think he's kidding. The Victoria's Secret has announced its third annual What is Sexy Awards.
Yes.
So I'd like to congratulate the winners. Sexiest actress, Eva Mendes.
Oh,
hard
okay.
to argue. Mm-hmm. Sexiest actor, Eric Bana. You know him from Munich and Crikey. Hulk. He's got a new movie coming up next month called The Other Boleyn Girl about Henry VIII. And he'll be at the awards, I think.
Okay.
Jessica Biel, sexiest yes. lips.
Sure.
Sexiest eyes, Kate Bosworth. I beg to differ.
Yeah.
Sexiest legs, Allie Larder from TV's Heroes.
Okay.
It was a faint bell.
Yeah, it was.
Sexiest style, Scarlett Johansson. Sexiest mom, Victoria Beckham. Sexiest dad, Justin Chambers.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh. Grey's Anatomy.
What is it? Oh, Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Oh. Yeah. They said Crazy Anime.
I did too.
Is he McDreamy or McSteamy?
No.
He's McLumpy.
Who's the other one? He's the tough guy that had sex with Katherine Heigl. Oh, that guy.
I know who you mean.
He's okay. McPussy. He's got a lot of sores. Sexiest female musician, Rihanna. Sexiest male musician, yeah. Chris Brown. Sexiest smile, Ryan Seacrest.
Oh.
What?
Please enjoy. Sad news. Talk show host Montel Williams is putting down his microphone after 17 years. Apparently, the show has been canceled. The president of the Montel Williams fan club said, Montel was still on the air? If I'd known, I would have won.
God damn it, no!
Seriously, I thought those were reruns. Yeah,
I had no idea he was still on the air.
Who knew?
Apparently, CBS Television has confirmed the decision, but plans to offer the best of Montel packages to stations that would still like to run Montel, Lisa. So.
Oh, thank
forever.
God.
Forever.
That's so exciting.
See him talking about all the hot topics of the day from 1997. And this is pretty fascinating. Forbes magazine has released its list of the top female moneymakers in the music industry.
Hmm.
Okay.
I was surprised by some of the way these ladies were ranked. Number 10, Mariah Carey. She made $13 million last year.
Wow.
Dixie Chicks made $18 million. Good enough to make them number 9. Faith Hill was number 8. Christina Aguilera was number 7 with $20 million made in last year.
Dude.
Gwen Stefani made $26 million. She was number 6 on the list.
Does this include endorsements or is it just their music?
I believe it's just the money making from their music.
Oh, no
careers.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beyonce made $27 million. I'm sure if it included endorsements, Beyonce would be number 1 by far.
Yeah. Probably. She seems to $400 million.
Everything on television. Shakira was number 4. $38 million in tours and sales.
My
gosh. Wow. Dude, for a midget, that's unbelievable.
Well, you know, the keys she has is that her hips.
That's true.
Well, they don't lie.
Never
that's for sure.
Lie.
They don't.
Yeah. Constantly telling the truth, her lips.
She gets paid for
hips.
That.
And other things that rhyme with hips. Celine Dion, $45 million.
Okay, right
that
there.
That was her Vegas,
right? That's her Vegas, right? I'm sure. Right. Barbara Streisand.
What?
$60 Dill? Million dollars
for
last
what?
Year. She had that farewell tour again.
Oh, she was touring still?
They did another farewell tour. Yeah.
Who knew?
And record sales. I mean, her catalog still moves pretty briskly. Number one. Top female moneymaker in music industry?
Madonna?
Madonna. Very good, Lisa. I was surprised
still?
By that. Madonna made $72 million last year alone.
Dude. I can't.
Oh, The gays.
The gays?
They got the money and they love Madonna.
Did she tour last thing. Year?
I think she did.
I think she did,
That explains it then, because I haven't. Yeah. She hasn't been on my radar in some time.
And she charged, didn't she charge like $200 a ticket or something?
Yeah.
Well, I know what Barbara does, too.
Yeah.
But $72 million in a year.
Yeah.
A year.
What's remarkable about Madonna, and I guess you got to give Streisand the credit, too, for surviving so long, is Madonna. Think what a huge star she was in the 80s.
Yes.
And then what a huge star she was in the 90s. And how can she still be this big and making this much money?
She's become iconic.
Yeah.
Sometimes you move past the industry and you just become an icon.
Yeah.
And
then
she has done
Fall Out Boy, I guess, would be the only other band I could think of that's in that category.
Well, that and Creed.
Creed. Forever.
Yeah. Sure. Today's celebrity birthdays, speaking of icons, Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols.
Yes.
Whoever thought he'd reach 52 years of age, by
no
the way.
Kidding.
No kidding.
Not me. Minnie Driver. Oh, she's so yummy.
Wish we could tell you a great story about
her.
We
always think of it.
I know.
Every time
can't
she's
great
mentioned.
Story we can't tell you about Minnie Driver.
Can't tell you, unfortunately.
She, of course, one of the stars of The Riches now over there on FX.
Which I think is starting up soon.
It is, Lisa.
I saw some previews.
I think it is coming up this or next week.
Speaking of which, Lost is on tonight. Ralphian. Seven new episodes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nope.
Awesome.
Can't
nope.
wait.
Wasn't it on last night, too?
Can't wait. I think there was like a recap. I didn't watch last night, but I think it was just a recap.
Try to get you back up to speed kind of thing.
Which I need to watch before I, you know.
Yeah.
Who's less clear on what's going on there?
You should watch all previous three seasons, really, before you get there.
I can't even remember who's alive and who's dead on that show. It's been so long since I've seen it.
Apparently, Mike and Walt are coming back. That's the big deal about this season.
That's been a while.
The ones that went off on the boat?
Yeah.
They're coming back.
That makes good sense.
All right. Yeah.
Charlie's dead, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? People die. They come back. Show's so effed up. Portia de Rossi.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mrs. Ellen DeGeneres is 35 years old today, and Justin Timberlake. He's bringing birthday back. He's 27 years old today. Oh, you shut up. You got nothing to say. Tell us more pizza stories, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, how about
that
pizza?
I got the toggle on the bell peppers. Go F yourself. You know the problem is? Here's a quintessential example of Bean and Mike being in the same subset of people with too much goddamn time on their hands.
That's what I was saying. How much time do you have to order?
The problem is, Psycho Mike used to be a partier, a binge drink and drug user. He cleaned up his act, so now he's got to put his insane focus on something else because he can't obsess about drugs and alcohol anymore. So now he gets obsessed about freaking pizza that he orders once a year. And Bean, just don't get me started, just way too much time to start focusing on how he orders a freaking pizza.
But I can see the pizza,
it's
Ralph.
It's a pizza.
Why don't you condemn me for caring too much?
It takes 20 minutes out of your life. Pizza's something you eat when you're really, you know what, I got to fill my stomach with something, but I don't have time really to worry about a meal. I'm just going to get pizza. Maybe they'll start a website for McDonald's, Bean. You can pick how many sesame seeds you want on your bun.
Already have it.
Kill yourself. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Nope. 9 minutes after six. Don't have time for this because we got to get this finished so we can get the Harvey Levin.
Groundhog Day! Groundhog Day! Oh, Groundhog Day! Winter predictions are going to happen.
We don't know.
What do you hate?
Punxsutawney.
Phil.
Groundhog Day. Outside my window. Groundhog Day. Behind a tree. We wait for Punxsutawney.
Phil.
Is it his shadow that he will see? And it's Groundhog Day. Outside my window plane.
Our shadow. I'm a groundhog. That Bill Murray movie. People in Pennsylvania are stupid. I'm Punxsutawney Phil, bitch. It all happens at Gobbler's Knob. That just sounds funny. Gobbler's Knob. Stupid tradition. Six more weeks of winter. Or we're gonna have early spring. I'm a groundhog.
Groundhog Day. Outside my window. Groundhog Day. Behind a tree.
All right.
You know, a lot of times with the great MCs, you look at a Jay-Z or somebody in the studio and people go, wow, how is it possible he does that off the top of his head? First take, how can he do it? With Omar, I think you can believe it. I think I think it's pretty obvious that he's making it up as he goes along. But that's his latest masterpiece. And, of course, Groundhog Day is Saturday. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Yeah, we got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in about 10 minutes telling us all about how the police delivered the package, as they called her, to the hospital last night. That's on the way. But first, the Kevin and Bean Afro line.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
I love weed. Oh, my God. I'm so high.
All right, thanks for the call.
I could tell.
Songs never sound as good to us as they do to you when you're high, but okay, that's fine. The English language sometimes can be confused.
Oh, my God.
The English language sometimes can be confusing.
So I'm a newlywed, and finding out how men and women communicate differently. See, it was my wife's birthday, and she said, really need a facial. See, her definition and my definition of that word, completely different. Mm.
Hope that didn't get
right
him into
trouble.
She's wrong.
I wonder which one she got for her birthday.
I do, too.
This is a K-Rock DJ calling us now to leave an Afro message.
Hi, my name is Sluggo. I work at KROQ Radio, and I heard you guys talking about Flava Flav. And I thought I'd tell you about the time I almost killed him in cold blood.
Wow.
That's when I was living in Hollywood, and I was flying down Gower. And all of a sudden, this guy steps in front of my car, and of course, I'm not going to stop. Who cares? But then I saw this clock, you know, swinging. But I'm so freaked out that I'm almost going to kill, because it's totally him, and he was going to Roscoe's Chicken Waffles across the street. So, I was imagining the headline. Cheesy radio DJ mows down what's-his-face from Public Enemy and keeps on trucking. It'd be like the old days, man. Remember when you guys and I used to go out on those crazy... Well, never mind.
No, we don't.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time Sligo's killing guys.
Exactly.
Bean is obsessed with aliens. He wants to see the aliens. He wants to have some kind of personal contact.
Bean just wants to be abducted by aliens with the anal probe.
Clearly.
No, I really, I'm afraid of the anal probe like everyone else is, but I would be willing to risk that in order to get on an alien ship.
Unlike most of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting that I have no time for people who live on this
That's
planet.
That's correct.
But I'm very excited about visitors from other worlds.
Because they're going to be more interesting?
How could they not be?
All right.
Ralph, so my boyfriend, he really wants to have sex back there, so I've been putting it off for a while. And we were making out and getting hot and heavy. And I let him take a trip to Booty Town. But I had to stop him because I told him, wait, it hurts my anus. Hurts my anus. Please stop. It hurts my anus. Hurts my anus. Stop. It hurts my anus. Hurts my anus.
My lord.
She put some work into that one.
Yeah, it's good.
And finally.
You know, I could listen to Kevin's Grammy outtakes all day. Okay. Seriously, you guys. And I'm sure there's enough of them. Just a show, 5:30 to 10.
How dare you.
Of Kevin Grammy outtake. Or at least put it up on the website. Just like an hour long of it strung together. More Kevin Grammy outtake all the time. Him.
Apparently they are on the download rodeo.
Excellent, because I love them too.
Kevin and Bean Page. I wish we
had
time here.
Let's hear some of those now.
We don't have time because we have Harvey Levin coming up. Tell us how we got Mary J. Blige in a once of a lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number 1. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number 1. Send the number 2. Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once. God damn it, Mary J. Blige in a once in a lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word one. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. Wow. With Carrie Underwood and Riscoe Flatts. Okay, I said both those names wrong. Sorry, again. Ludacris. The 49th Annual Grammy Awards with Clinton. An unforgettable... Let's do it again. No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley. Okay. That's gay riding. You know that, right? Okay. No, I want to do it again. That's vodka and Red Bull for 4 days in a row in Miami. I could quite possibly die during this recording session. An unprofessional. Like 20 minutes. That was all happened within the same hour.
They better be calling you, man. You know, tomorrow's February 1st. The Grammys are the 10th. They better be calling you if you're doing it this year.
My phone's not exactly ringing off the hook. I'll tell you that right now.
I can't see why.
323-520-AFRO. Stick around. We got Harvey Levin with all the updates from Britney Spears' world coming up next.
TMZ.com does it again, breaking the story of Britney being back in the hospital, and what a night it was. Harvey, did you get any sleep, or were you just up all night?
Zero.
You and Britney.
Dude, I got to tell you, I don't know how you guys do it except that you have well-placed sources, but I know you're very, very busy this morning. You don't have much time. So what happened for folks just waking up this morning and can't figure out how there's another 5150 on our favorite Pop-Tart?
Yeah, there's so much. Okay, let me try to piece this together. Her divorce lawyers got her a new psychiatrist last week. He's been going to her house every day. She's been diagnosed. We now know this. She has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. She's gotten medicine, but the medicines really haven't worked. She's in a tailspin. The psychiatrist came over earlier this week and felt that she needed to be committed again because of her driving and because she's just in a downhill spiral. So it was supposed to happen the night before, but they pulled the plug at the last minute. So it happened last night. What happened was Brittany was told, basically, look, you have to go back in the hospital. This time, she was really calm about it, and she said it's okay. I think she made some hot chocolate, and then went into the living room. Her mom started screaming. There was a big fight between her mom, her dad, and Sam Lutfi, and Brittany told everybody just to shut up, sit down on the floor, and and be quiet. And she ended up passing notes around waiting for the police and the emergency workers. So she was extremely calm on this one, almost like she kind of knew she needed help.
Right.
They came, they put her on the gurney. She was completely cooperative, went to the hospital, and there was a huge fight at the hospital, again, between Sam Lutfi and she went to UCLA this time, and the parents. And there's a big fight over, you know, who has control over her medical care. And Lutfi has some documents that he has got, that Brittany signed after she got out the first time, but it's not this durable power of attorney that you get in order to, you know, be qualified to tell a doctor what to do. So there was a dogfight at the hospital. What I'm told now is the parents ultimately won at least this round. The judge has just signed the order basically committing her involuntarily for 3 days. She's in the hospital. She's calm. They're probably going to go in and get another 14-day hold on her. This is probably going to end up in court in the next day because there's going to be this square off between Lutfi and the parents. But in the middle of all of this, she's just in desperately bad shape.
Harvey, I know as a human being, you have great sympathy for Brittany. Is this the best possible thing that could have happened to her, what happened this morning?
Well, it's the best possible thing today. The problem is what's going to happen. See, what they can do is, and they probably will do, this is only a 72-hour hold. Not only will she be there for the 72, but based on what I'm hearing, the shrink will almost certainly go back and get a and get another 14 days on this. But that's just temporary. And, you know, there are like two different groups of people in her life who are trying to get her help, but she has to want it too. And it's really hard when people have bipolar disease to get them on a rational level all the time, where they take the medicine, where they do what they need to do. So it's a really difficult disease.
Are they hoping that the 3 days plus the 14 days may be some of the – maybe they'll try a new medicine or something and it'll kick in?
Well, I mean, the problem with bipolar is if you find the right medicine, the biggest problem people have is they start feeling better, they start acting rationally, and she's had periods where she's really rational. So then what happens is she stopped taking the medicine. And that's what happens to a lot of people who take this. But, you know, this was also coordinated. There's a unit in the LAPD called the SMART Unit, which deals with mental health. They've been working on this for days, and this has been so intricate, this whole thing, because they knew what was going to happen with the media, that literally they had codes. They called Brittany the package, and when they radioed, when they were on their way over there, they were talking about the package. But it was just a really well-coordinated, planned thing. And, you know, I mean, this is as difficult a situation as people can get in, especially because of the media.
Hey, Harvey, all these bizarre accents, the British one, you wrote about the Chinese-Mexican mix last week. Does Brittany do that on purpose, or is she not even aware she's doing it, and that's a symptom of bipolar disorder?
Well, I mean, I think she's got a couple of things going on. She's got, bipolar disorder, yes, but there's part of that is she has multiple personalities. This British person, this isn't just an accent. She takes on a persona, and it's not just that. She has a bunch of them. And what's happened with her is when she takes on one and then loses it for something else, a lot of times she has absolutely no recollection of what she had done while she was the person before. Oh. And when she – remember when she didn't show up for the deposition?
Right, right.
No recollection of that.
Wow.
No recollection of that.
Okay, I know you're extremely tight on time. I know you have to go, but just a thumbnail sketch for me. Who is Sam Lutfi, and why does he have any kind of control over Brittany?
Well, I mean, it's a complicated thing. I mean, you know, it's kind of like Rashomon, you know, the Japanese director who shot the same thing from nine different angles, and you have nine different views of it.
Right.
From the parents' point of view, he's evil. He is a disruptive force who is trying to basically own Britney Spears for what purpose they don't know, but they think he is pure evil. That's a fact. From his point of view and the point of view of others, you know, some others, he's saying he's the only one that's really cared about her, that he has been the one who's living with her 24/7 for the last, you know, more than a year. The parents haven't, and he's the one who's had to deal with this horrible disease that she has, because when they're together in a room, I mean, I got to tell you something. I talked to him, I can't remember now whether it was yesterday or the day before, but she was in the background, and we put this up on the site, and she interrupted him 20 times I think, during the conversation. Because, you know, she just constantly needs something, and he's the only one around. So Sam Lutfi is a totally different person depending on who you talk to.
Is he on her payroll?
He says he hasn't gotten a single penny, and nobody can show that he's gotten a single penny from her.
So cash. So cash.
I mean, listen, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he lashes out at the parents and saying they're jealous. The parents say, look, we care about our daughter. There's nothing in it for us at this point. We want her help. We want to get her help. So, I mean, I just think it's all so jumbled right now. And it is just, I've rarely seen this kind of craziness.
And here's how quickly the story changes. We wanted to talk to you about the phone call, but everything else happened in between then. And so now you got something else to talk about. It's just crazy.
Oh, and you know what? And stupid me. I mean, I've been up all night, and there was like a lull at 4:30 in the morning, and I finally decided I'm just going to go to the gym, and I'm like totally disrupting everybody there, talking. My phone's ringing,
sure.
Talking about it, so I jettisoned that.
Well, we appreciate you giving us the update, and I know tonight on TMZ TV at 6:30 on Channel 11, I know you're going to have a minute-by-minute recount of how it all flew apart this morning. But thank you for coming on, Harvey.
And go to the website, too, because what we did was
we've
got a bunch of posts from the night, but then we put it all together so you can kind of see, you know, how this thing unfolded.
Awesome.
That's great. Have a great day. Hope you can get some sleep later, man. And thanks for coming on.
Bye, guys.
Take care, Harvey. Yesterday was Vice President Dick Cheney's birthday.
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick.
Hey, Dick.
I have so often heard you say, Kevin, that you love Dick, and that's why I think it's great news that the vice president is on the phone right now. Good morning, Mr. Cheney.
So?
well, happy birthday, sir.
All right.
Wow.
Mr. Cheney, are you how are you feeling? You okay?
Yep.
Okay. Most people are a little more excited about their birthday. We just thought we'd check in and find out, you know, how the celebration went yesterday.
We had a good time.
Right. But with your heart problems over the years, isn't every birthday a big surprise to you, sir?
I find that question insulting.
Mm. Well, you do have heart trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had a lot of heart bypass and heart attacks and everything else. I just thought, hey, it's great that you're 67.
Okay, you go.
No, go ahead.
We secured against that by hooking my pacemaker up to a marine battery.
Is that right?
At the party, yes. It's like a 4,000 volts or something, so... kept me going through the party.
Now, party, you mentioned. Did you do it at the White House?
Oh, no. I did it in my private residence.
Okay.
It was a low-key affair, the usual sort of party celebration. We had big dinner with some friends.
Okay.
Opening presents, feasting on human blood, you know, that sort of thing.
Did you say?
Really?
Did you say feasting on human blood?
No, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be something a vampire would do.
Yeah.
All right. Would your close friend President Bush be at the party? Is he someone you would hang out with socially?
Yes, he came. We needed someone to pass hors d'oeuvres. So he showed up.
He acted as a waiter?
Well, server, if
okay,
you will.
Server. All right.
Servant.
To work.
Right. Does he have to go where you tell him to go and do what you tell him to do?
He doesn't have to. No. We can always go hunting, though.
Oh, no. You got a weapon there now?
Well, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Dick does know how to make a point, by the way. He just offers to, quote-unquote, take you hunting.
Yeah.
You don't do what he asks you to do.
That was one of the games we played at the party yesterday. Hunting with Hillary.
Oh.
big cardboard stand-up of Hillary.
Yeah.
And whoever, well, you know.
Yeah, I think I do.
Wins.
I think I do. So is the pressure off you a little bit, Mr. Cheney, since, you know, this is your final year? You'll be out of office in January. I mean, are you looking forward to retirement, looking forward to many more birthdays where you don't have to worry about also running the country?
I'll still be running the country. I just won't be vice president. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Do they still have to listen to you, whoever gets elected?
Oops. Well, you know, the military-industrial complex will still be alive and well, so I'll still be making money and we'll still be fighting wars.
So whoever gets in, doesn't matter if it's Mr. McCain or Mrs. Clinton or whoever it is, Senator Obama, you'll still basically, you and Halliburton will be pretty much telling them where to send our people and what to buy.
Well, until they start having elections for the shadow government. No, I guess I will, yeah.
Most people.
That's
who
funny you mentioned Obama. We played Pin the Tail on Obama yesterday at the party.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Was he there?
No, it was just a picture stand-up of him. Yeah. But
well, you have a great time with those stand-ups, don't you?
No idea. Thanks for great target practice.
Dick, you're not shooting that weapon in your house now, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
I wish I could order a pizza right now online. Yeah. Just, since we started talking about it, it's all I can think about, and they don't start serving this early. It kind of blows.
Bean's excited about being able to order pizza online.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
It's a big thing.
Best idea ever. That's all. Plus, you can pay ahead of time. You put the tip on the bill. You don't have to deal with the driver when he shows up and all that nonsense.
And maybe you just leave a little sign outside to just leave on the porch so you don't even have to
what
open the door.
What kind of slide under the door, Lisa?
Yeah.
Like he's
put
the prisoner of Zenda.
What kind of nightmarish hell has your ordering pizzas been? It doesn't seem that difficult to me. You just call, they show up, you pay, and you're done.
But then they come to your
nothing
house.
Nothing simpler.
You got to talk to him. You got to hand him money or fill out paperwork or
almost
something like that. Just eliminate all of
fill
that.
Out paperwork. who's showing up with a contract for you to buy a pizza?
No,
it's just you ordered pizza in the last 10 years.
I order pizza all the time, and I'm saying
look at him. You don't think he orders pizza every day?
You don't get a body like this without spending some time at the Domino's. You know what I'm saying?
Send my pizza.
All right. Exactly. I'm just saying, what time do they open? Because now I can think of nothing else but delicious hot pizza.
Great.
It's 6:52 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on, Argar?
How do you struggle against the simplest of activities in life? How does that just become the major hurdle for you to clear?
You know, that's his whole thing is majoring in the minors. That's his whole thing. The smaller it is, the more important it is to him.
He can diagram the entire Edmund Fitzgerald lyric, including with the footnotes and asterisks and, you know, research, strongly worded letters written to each of the people who participated in the wreck.
Yep.
But he can't order a pizza.
Insignificant.
Without having a breakdown. That just... You see sparks coming out of his wiring.
Insignificant equals huge in Bean's world.
That's not true. It's just that life is made up of nothing but a collection of a million small things. But you put them all together, and then you got your face
and
in a complicated
ordering a
life.
Pizza is the easiest of all the things.
That one should not even be noticed, let alone complained about.
Makes me nervous. A little uncomfortable. Just saying, they're improving things.
Have your manslave Marty make them for you. You won't have to order.
People talking about Paul Abdul's participation in the Super Bowl this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
some people are asking why are they just showing the video? Why the pre-recorded version of her song rather than have Paula Abdul perform live? Well, if you ask the executive producer at Fox Sports, he says there's not enough time for a live performance during the Super Bowl for Paula.
They have live performances one after another.
Kevin, you know, they have a very small window of airtime they dedicate to the Super Bowl. You know, they don't have hours and hours of programming around the Super Bowl. They just pretty much have the game just from kickoff to the final tick of the clock. That's all
Ralph,
you see on Fox. It's just pretty much it's a tight window to try to in any sort of other extraneous sort of entertainment.
But, Ralph, I think the pregame starts at like 9:30 in the morning and the kickoff's like at 3 or something.
What?
How long is her song?
Nothing but time.
Apparently, you want to hear a little of it?
Well, let me finish the story first. Apparently, the real reason, according to people close to Paula, is that she is so emotionally fragile, there's no way she could handle doing a live show.
That would be awesome.
They fear that she would break down.
She
would. If the smallest thing went wrong in the course of her day. So they said, look, the Paula you see in American Idol isn't the real Paula, and the handlers don't want anyone to see it. They don't want to take a chance.
Lisa watched some of Paula's reality show. I never caught it. But Lisa, didn't she cry all the time over everything?
She's a wreck. She's beyond a disaster. She makes Britney Spears look sane. She really does. She just weeps at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, she's a drama queen.
Yeah, you ask her to put her shoes on. She's like, I can't take the pressure.
I don't know. When did this happen to her? Because long before she was a massive music star and probably toured the world and doing live performances, she was a Laker girl who nightly would get up and dance in front of people.
Things have changed,
when did she fall apart? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Good question.
When we weren't looking.
When did she pull a fart? Indeed. This is a sad story. Apparently, Heath Ledger had a severe battle with drug abuse and alcohol abuse before his untimely demise. Us Weekly Magazine's reporting that from various sources, they're finding out that Michelle Williams ultimately left him after years of watching him abuse alcohol, cocaine, heroin, a variety of pills over the 3 years they were together. That's the reason they split up. Someone close to the former couple says that Michelle even drove him to the front door of Promises at one point up there in Malibu, California, but he refused to check in, and he said he could clean up his act on his own. So she would just take him home, and so she did. And still nowhere in the toxicology report in terms of what actually killed Heath, but
couldn't have helped his health at all.
No.
He was dealing with all that stuff.
No, that's true.
Someone else who's been overserved lately apparently was Bill Murray.
Oh, really?
The New York Post says that Bill was at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he and a female companion got up to get some fresh air because Bill was having a few glasses of wine, let's say.
Sure.
And apparently he was so buzzed that they had to enlist an employee's aid to get him out the door.
He's a guy who will show up smashed to things.
The best part is outside, still thirsty, he ordered another glass of wine before he even came back into the bar. So it would be there waiting for him when he sat down. I want to get drunk with Bill Murray so badly.
No kidding. It'd be the best.
What fun would that be? Tonight, their new TV show is debuting on ABC called Eli Stone. Have you seen the commercials for this?
I have.
It's about a lawyer who has visions, sees things.
So it's Johnny Lee Miller, right?
It does look good. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. However, the premiere is causing a lot of controversy, especially amongst the American Academy of Pediatrics, who went so far as to call for the cancellation of the episode over there at ABC. Apparently, the storyline tonight is a woman who claims that a vaccine caused her son's autism.
Oh.
Now, apparently, there is a school of thought claiming that vaccinations are the cause for the rise, and it's an epidemic rise in autism in young children.
It is, true.
But the Academy of Pediatrics says the bulk of evidence about autism indicates the vaccines are not associated with it, and they don't want to add fuel to the fire by having this show stir up such a controversy.
There probably are people who will watch that show and will make a decision on how to handle their kids' health based on it.
Yeah,
I hope
that's what they're afraid of.
Right.
So they split the difference pretty much, and ABC agreed to run a disclaimer with the episode saying, for the real story, check out the Center for Disease Control's autism website, and they'll tell you that they're not associated. So,
are we giving kids more vaccines now than we did 20 years ago?
I don't know.
Roughly the same amount. I
don't know about the kids.
I know a woman who doesn't give any vaccines. She does not believe in any vaccines at all for kids.
Yeah, there are people.
It's a little nutty to me.
Seems like
I think so too.
And we could start seeing the reoccurrence of things that have been wiped out.
Yeah, there's reasons why you want to keep your kid from catching that stuff, right?
I have Omar found a clip of Eli Stone.
Kevin's going to keep trying, man.
The new TV series, Eli Stone?
It debuts tonight, right after Lost.
6:59?
Yeah. Live.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
That's the character, Mr. Khan. Yeah. Not sure how he fits into the show, but.
Is he Eli Stone's boss?
I haven't seen it yet. I don't know for sure.
What's this new show called Lost that's on ABC tonight ahead of Eli Stone? I haven't heard too much about this one.
See, that's funny. And yet,
is
I'm
it?
Excited.
Is it really funny?
Nope.
Lisa.
No, I remember there used to be a show back when I was in high school called Lost about some people on an island, but I don't know anything about this one.
It wasn't funny the first time. Go again.
No, I can save it.
Do one more. No, seriously, because it'll get funny eventually.
It's just weird that they would pick the same title as that old show.
Uh-huh. Go again.
No, I'm done now. That's it. Three and I'm out. I struck out.
And how would you like to smell like Avril Lavigne?
I don't think so.
Toronto Star newspaper says that they discovered documents were filed last month with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to secure the rights to Avril's name to put out a line of fragrances, aftershave, body wash, etc. The whole line of fragranced products by Avril Lavigne. According to sources close to Avril, the scent is something reminiscent of stale cigarettes, deer urine, and maple syrup.
Really? Why deer urine? I don't understand that.
Well, maybe she spends a lot of time hunting. I don't know. Can't really be
sure. Okay, explain the pink.
Oh!
Stop.
It's Avril Lavigne. It's not pink, but we got close.
He doesn't like Larry Knows.
They're all pop stars. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow. Wow. Johnny Rotten celebrates his 52nd birthday today. He, of course, the legendary singer for the Sex Pistols, Minnie Driver. You know her from Good Will Hunting,
from the Riches that she's on currently with Eddie Izzard over there on Fox. What else do we know her from? Gross Point Blank. Remember that with
that's right.
John Cusack?
Yeah.
She was great in that. 38 years old today. Portia de Rossi from Arrested Development and from Ellen DeGeneres' Vajayjay. She is 35 years old today, and Justin Timberlake celebrates his 27th. I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the showbiz.
From time to time, we have to bring an argument that has been consuming the office over the course of a few days onto the air so it can be settled once and for all. I don't know how we're going to settle this one
never does.
Once and for all.
It never does.
Hasn't worked one time.
Unless Kevin Smith's on the phone.
That's true, yeah.
Unfortunately, the decider is unavailable today. He is making a movie, so we're going to have to try to sort this one out ourselves. But I wasn't in the room, you guys, when the conversation first started. But what's the genesis of this argument between Ralph and Kevin?
How did it start, Ralph? Was there a survey of
I don't think there was a story or anything. I think we just were talking sports, as we are wont to do from time to time in the office. And we just started talking about the big four sports, basically, and who was the toughest athletes out there. Which guys were the toughest for which sport?
It was something about baseball. Baseball came up.
Exactly.
And Ralph and I are not fans of baseball, so we were like, those guys, ugh.
I started talking about pitchers and catchers.
Yeah, I bet you did.
As you always do.
Getting back to work very soon, and Ralph was talking about what pussies baseball players are.
Right. Yes.
And I said, although in their sport they have the least contact, baseball players tougher than basketball players.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that.
And the argument went nuts over that.
Well, that's absurd.
Then it bled over into who's the toughest.
Who's the toughest of the big four sports? Who's the toughest?
Right.
Not to get off on a tangent, but I think there are different skills that are necessary to play each of the sports. I mean, a basketball player would have trouble with the long season of playing baseball, for instance. I mean, I think they are different.
But baseball,
no, because baseball, you stand around all the time. How hard is that?
You can be fat, you know, and play baseball.
No, I mean,
a lot of baseball players wouldn't have a hard time with the long season of baseball because you barely move. You move it once every 20 minutes in baseball. They're running up and down the court all night long.
Yeah, for a couple of hours, but this is a three and a half hour game, 162 of them in a season. I mean, that's a grueling schedule.
You stand on grass. How grueling is that?
My argument with baseball players being tougher had nothing to do with the physical exertion.
Yeah, here's the thing. Bean wasn't in for the conversation, so we have to set up the ground rules for it. It's not about what do you need the more stamina for, what is the best athlete, you know, you have to be a better athlete to perform in one sport or the other. It has nothing to do with that. We're talking about tough. We're talking about a badass mofo. Who are the toughest athletes?
Don't bother calling and saying, what about rugby? We don't want to hear from the motocross riders. We're just talking about between football, hockey,
if you had to pick best conditioned athlete, who are the best athletes in any sport, you might almost have to go with soccer. Because think about how those guys are just hauling ass up and down an enormous field for hours. I mean, that takes a lot of stamina and athleticism, you know, just to get that done.
I think overall, the best, most well-conditioned athletes are fighters. Any type of combat sport.
Fighting is not a part of this.
That's another thing we say, you know, we don't want to talk about MMA or boxing because obviously those guys have to be tough. It's built into the sport that you have to be tough in order to do that.
What makes tough then? What's your definition of tough? How do you decide between the sports who's the toughest?
First of all, Bean would have to ask what is tough, by the way.
I want to make sure we all are looking for the same criteria. First of all,
let's all agree, and I know that Bean can't, but baseball pussies. Okay.
Right. They're at the bottom of the list by far.
So then, as far as the big four go, it's got to be baseball at the bottom, and then basketball next.
No. Right. No. Shut up.
And then football second and hockey first.
See, that's where you're wrong. There's where we got into problems. That it's got to be hockey and then football. You have to be the toughest athletes in the world who play football out of the big four professional
sports. I was thinking about this, and the problem with football is, A, there's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of, the play's over, let's go back to the huddle. There's commercial breaks. I mean, there's a lot of downtime in football as well.
Well, there's 60 minutes on the clock in a 3.5-hour game.
But there's also more tough players, positions, and less tough positions. For example, you wouldn't say a punter is tough. There are less tough positions.
No, but the majority of football players don't play those positions.
I'd say running back and linebacker, maybe. You know, because they have the crushing hits every...
What about linemen? Offensive and defensive linemen.
They're huge, and they're right next to each other. They don't get a lot of speed, like run-up time.
Yeah,
like,
but there's...
Like a defensive back does or something.
But they're 400 pounds
But they're right next to each other.
But they're smashing each other over and over again.
Yeah, but they're...
All right, let me take a 400-pound bag of cement and just throw it at you from a foot away, Kevin. Let's see what happens to you.
Here's my theory. In football, there are super tough positions. For example, a wide receiver who doesn't get thrown to all that often, but if he goes over the middle, the problem with that is he's concentrating on something else while the defender is concentrating on hitting him. That happens every play of a hockey game. They're always concentrating on something else and not the guy coming to hit them. And that makes it so much more
tough
to play.
But there's so more, fewer hits in hockey than there is in football. Every play, there's collisions on every single play in football.
There
How many times do you check another guy in a hockey game? Maybe a dozen times?
Every play, maybe?
Every play?
No,
you're
pretty
checking
much.
Every play.
Pretty much.
What's
no.
the majority of your time spent doing in hockey? Checking? No, it's skating. Skating and shooting. That's the majority of your time is spent.
Okay, so you're super tired, and you're concentrating on something else besides getting hit. I think that puts it above football because football has more downtime, and most of the positions in football aren't really hitting hard.
No, most of the positions are. The minority positions aren't hitting
hard.
Linemen hit each other hard, Kevin. Are you insane?
Please.
It's 60 minutes of collision. That sport is nothing but physical
but
toughness.
They're gigantic, huge
beasts
monster
of men.
Beasts.
Yes.
And they're right next to each other. There's no... In hockey, you skate, you pick up speed, and you nail a guy who's not paying attention
Very
to you.
Very rarely do you even see checks take place in the middle of the ice. Usually you're against the boards when someone comes in and runs in and against you. And let me ask you, how many injuries do you see in a hockey game where it takes players out of the game? How often does that happen in a hockey game?
It happens... that's a good question.
How many times a season do you see a player taken out of a game because of a hit he took in a hockey game?
Probably not as much as football.
Probably
but,
not
but
as much?
Because football players are pussies.
Oh, that's what it is.
No, I'm just kidding.
How many injuries do you see that happen on a football field where the guy has to leave the game because he's been injured so brutally?
All right. Let's,
How many times do you see that?
Because they're pussies.
How many times do you see that in a game, Kevin?
No, but
in an average football game, how many guys leave the game due to an injury?
Probably about two a game,
know.
I would guess.
About two
yeah,
a
maybe
game.
Maybe two a game.
That's the nature of that sport. That's how brutal that sport
Some
is.
Some positions more than others. That's all I'm saying.
Majority of positions. But it happens in almost every position. Quarterbacks leave the game a lot. How many quarterbacks
because,
a season do you see?
See, that's
go?
The key is the quarterback is concentrating on the receivers and the coverage downfield, and he's not paying attention to the guys that are coming at him. That happens in hockey every play. With
but
everybody.
I'm not saying hockey's not a tough sport. I'm just saying football is tougher.
I know that that's what you're saying, but you're not right.
That was another rule that was clearly stated in the argument in the office, is that neither of you are disparaging the other sport.
No,
that
football
is
super tough.
It's that one.
Yeah, you're talking about number one or number two.
But
I mean,
in order to play football, you have to be tougher. It's the toughest sport there is
for certain
play.
Positions.
For the majority of positions.
If you're a linebacker.
Except for the kicking. Except for the special teams of kicking.
Yeah.
Almost every position, you have to be tough because you are going to get your bell rung.
There are a lot of times wide receivers don't get a pass in the entire course of the game.
But they are still blocking for running
sort
backs.
Sort of. Have you seen wide receivers
they're
block?
They're protecting their quarterback.
Have you seen them block? They kind of stand in the way.
They take a hit.
They sort of get in the way if they can.
Well, maybe
that's pretty much it.
Because you watch a lot of Arizona Cardinals games, you don't see a lot of guys blocking for wide receivers.
True.
But most wide receivers are taking on linebackers and guys are protecting their quarterbacks, even when they're not in the play to receive a ball.
All right, let's stop it right there and take a couple of phone calls, and we'll include yours too at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to weigh in on this. Why don't we let's talk to Tom in San Pedro. He's down there on line 8, and we'll see what Tom has to say about the argument. Football players or hockey players, who's tougher and why? Tom, good morning. Welcome to K-Rock.
Morning, guys. Hi. Ralph, go Eagles.
Go Birds!
Hey. Basically, football players have to be tougher. I mean, come on, you have five guys standing on the front line holding back almost 1,000 pounds of dead weight trying to ring the bell.
But wait a minute. You say that like one guy's taking on 1,000 pounds. That's not the way it works. It's a 250-pounder taking on a 250-pounder from 2 inches.
Oh, come on. You haven't bumped in behind the offensive line, and here comes a running back at about, 15 miles an hour and knock you out?
The running backs don't take out the linemen. They try to avoid the linemen. They sidestep them. They don't try to run over them unless there's no room
them.
How many big yardage
running plays do you see? Usually it's for two or three tough yards, and those guys get smacked down to
by
the turf.
By linebackers, usually.
As a personal experience, guys, I've had my bell rung a couple times. I've been on that offensive line.
So have
line.
I. Oh, not offensive line, but I've played football, too. It's not that it's not tough. It's just not
Even
as
on the
tough.
Line, once that ball is snapped.
Safety, Kevin. Come on, you were floating out there.
I wasn't a safety. How
you're
dare
floating.
You?
That's
he was
all.
A kicker. He was a punter.
As a quarterback.
Thanks for the call. No wonder you don't think it's tough.
And not a good one.
Even the guys on the line, they have to hold the other guy for the extent of the play, for as long as it takes.
Holding a guy
350
That's
pounds
rough.
Who's running constantly
but
at
you. But you're 350 pounds. So what?
So what? They're coming. It's downhill. They're coming at you.
It's not downhill.
You have to...
How many snaps in a football game would you say, average? How many
10?
Snaps? Okay.
10 snaps in a football game?
No, I'm just kidding.
75, 65?
Fine, something. Whatever.
Imagine 65 times a guy who can close grip bench press 400 pounds from his crouch position launching at you and smashing into your body.
No way.
It's not just a guy leaning on you.
If you're talking
like
about...
They go hike and they fall
they
over.
They just take one hand and say, stop, stop where you are.
They
let's
do
wait
most
for this
of the
play
time.
To be over.
If you're talking about...
You're
line,
mad.
If you're talking about linemen, you've never been more wrong. If you're talking about running backs and, you know, maybe linebackers, I can see that because they do hit with some speed. That's what
I'd
say. We
got to get a lineman in here just to throw you across the room.
No, it wouldn't make any sense because I would have to be as big as the lineman. They're both the same size for the most part. Sometimes one's heavier, but not by that much.
You act like because they're only a couple feet away from each other, there's no impact, there's no speed
there is,
build
but it's
up
not
when
nearly
they snap
as much.
Off that ball.
Not nearly as much, though. As hockey, skating full speed, or running back, you know, getting up ahead of speed before he gets hit by a linebacker. Those are the big crushing blows.
What if I take a 10-pound hammer, okay, and I put it a foot away from your face, and you run towards the hammer as I push it towards your head?
There would be a penalty thrown.
Do that.
Do that
10 times in a row
hour. That's illegal.
All right, guys, we have to take a break. We have some great calls on hold with compelling reasons for each argument. We got just as many hockey as we do football people, so we'll hear what they have to say.
Hang up on the hockey people because they're
wrong. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls, and hopefully we'll come to some sort of conclusion, although I doubt it, when we come back after this on K-Rock.
Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 27 minutes after 7 o'clock.
It's now the Wrong and Bean Show. We've renamed it.
Ralph and Kevin have been arguing for some time behind the scenes. Now it's spilled onto the air about who are tougher athletes. We're talking about hockey players versus football players. Those are the only two that are in play here today, and they both make, I think, pretty compelling arguments. So we're going to the listeners to find out if there's something we're missing that will really determine a winner in this battle. Let's take Jim in Valencia at 1-800-520-1067. He's on line 5. We took a call in support of Ralph's theory that football players are by far the toughest. I think Jim is lining up with you, Kevin. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Bottom line is you watch the hockey games and you see one of the hockey players take a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot to the face. Goes in the back, they pull out a couple teeth, he gets right back out on the ice.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the injuries in hockey are usually, the worst injuries are caused by the puck, the stick, or a blade.
Or a fight.
Rarely a fight. You ever see a hockey fight? Seriously, they're exciting, but it's largely a guy pulling a jersey over another guy's head and getting a couple shots in. But everybody walks away. And you can't even fight in football, so you can't even use fight as a criteria.
Still, that's tough. You're talking about guys getting injured. If that happened to a football player, you know he'd be out for 4 weeks.
See, that's
thing. The football players go,
Ronnie Lott had his finger removed and then went back into the game.
Hey,
all right, F you.
He's an exception.
How about Rivers with the San Diego playing with that torn ACL 2 weeks ago, too, by the way, playing the whole game that way. That was pretty impressive.
Ankle. Played an entire game on a broken ankle. Screw you with your teeth.
All right, let's go to Brittany in La Habra. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
I'm going to have to agree with Kevin on this one. I think.
That has to hurt you to even say those words, doesn't it?
How dare you? She's on solid ground here.
No, I mean, come on. Let's look at the facts here. Hockey players, they're out there. They're on skates. They're on ice. They got to concentrate on the game. Meanwhile, everyone's, you know, trying to throw blows at each other. I mean,
they're throwing bullets at each other?
Not bullets, blows.
Throwing blows. Oh. Yeah. There's no way a football player can hold up in a hockey game.
That's what I'm saying. Not only that, there's not a wall around the football. You don't have to worry about getting smashed into a wall.
Yeah, you know why? Because you're playing indoors. How about the elements? Tell me the guys playing in Green Bay a couple weeks ago. Those bastards weren't tough playing in sub-zero temperatures and hitting each other.
Pussies.
That's a pussy. Guy playing in the snow in freezing cold, getting frostbite, hitting each other.
That was crazy bad. Josh
in Garden. Is it tough, though? Is it tough when you play that?
Here's another thought. The concentrating on the puck while somebody else is trying to hit you, that's one thing. Playing two nights in a row is something else, by the way.
I'm not saying that
football,
I have more stamina.
A whole week off. Before they
because
have to play
again. Because
you need
a week to recover. Because the
because
game is so
they're
tough,
football players.
They can only play
hockey,
once a week.
Two
and
nights
they can
in
only
a row.
Play 16 times a year.
You also have to factor in the physical impact of playing against other football players compared to hockey players. The average NHL hockey player's got to be my size.
Yeah, was he a buck 80?
Junior Seau, you know, name any like top-notch, high-rated defensive backer, linebacker. These guys are not only huge and monstrous, they're running like a 4.240.
I'd like to get a call from a trainer saying, what does the training room look like after a hockey game versus after a football game? Who's getting stitched
anytime,
back together
dude.
And put back together?
Anytime. I don't know what that means. Josh, hey.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hey, I'm going with football, because if you think about it,
football is mostly Americans.
Yeah.
The hockey team's the Canadians.
Good point.
Who in their right mind thinks the Canadians kick football players ass?
You're absolutely right, Jess. Canadians and foreigners. That's who you got playing
Canadians
hockey.
And Europeans.
Pussies.
That's the angle we were looking for to make the decision for us.
What?
It's hard to argue. It's hard to argue with that.
What?
Canadians are eating like maple syrup and ham.
Exactly.
Like,
it's all they eat.
Yeah, maple syrup and ham.
That's why they're all 5'5", 170.
Yeah, but they can go like 200 miles an hour on their skates.
Great. So can Brian Boitano.
Kevin,
he's
not hitting anybody, though.
No, Darcy Hamill had a big career on ice and skates, too.
They're not hitting everybody.
Brian Boitano was hitting everybody, by the way.
The caller was right. You cannot continue with this position if you basically are saying that Canadians are tougher than Americans. You're just
saying that hockey players have a much more continuous and night-after-night experience than football, which gets interrupted each play and commercial breaks and timeouts and the whole deal.
It's an hour of playing time, an hour and an hour. You got three periods of 20 minutes.
Continuous or completely interrupted every 30 seconds.
But it's the activity they do have is a crushing collision each and every time.
Sorry. I can't go
You
with
are
that.
Sorry.
I got to go
so
football.
So very sorry.
I got to go football second, hockey first.
No, you're wrong.
That has to be our decision.
Canadian foreigner lover. Don't you go make out with Geddy Lee.
Do I have to have my position?
Yes, because that's what you love.
Doesn't seem fair.
Yes.
All right. I'll be back. American Idol on last night again?
Mm-hmm. From toughness in sports to American Idol.
Yeah.
We run the gamut, don't we?
Heterosexual? Gay.
Yeah, it was sure on last night again. They were in Miami, Florida.
And I'll tell you, a lot of weirdos in Miami, as if you didn't know. We spent enough time down there. No,
yeah,
it's just
nutty.
Chock full.
Nutty people.
Out of 10,000 people who showed up to audition for American Idol, 17 got through to the next level in Hollywood.
Less than the last one.
Yeah. They sucked. They sucked for the most part.
Who are most of these people at this point, seven seasons in, Ralph, who are showing up for the auditions? They're not really there because they think they have talent, right? They want to be on TV, or they're just looking for something to do that day?
It's all of the above, but I think the vast majority of people show up thinking they actually have a shot, that they're going to end up with that contract recording deal and
that's
the whole
awesome.
Nine yards. It is awesome. First and foremost, we had these are the worst ones, like Shanna McGough last night. Shanna came in having won every sort of junior Miss pageant sort of fifth grade talent contest she ever entered, and she really thought she was on her way to superstardom.
Sure.
You know, I think largely because she got tired of working for her parents' butcher shop. She was working for a butcher shop.
Oh, no.
And she said, I wonder what Shanna liked most about working in the butcher shop.
Working with all that meat.
What she gets off on.
Yeah.
Shanna's not just a talented singer, though. She's got other skills as well. Here she is showing them off.
I made the mistake of telling people that I belch. I can burp pretty loud. There hasn't been a guy to beat me yet.
Well, congratulations, honey. Your parents must be so very proud.
Wow. That's a good combination. Belching skills along with food preparation. I like those two together.
Yeah, nothing sexier than a girl who just works with meat belching up a storm.
Oh,
I think it makes for a great second date. She came in and she sang a song by Janis Joplin. And here's a tip for all you kids out there who want to be an American Idol. Janis Joplin wasn't a very good singer. So when you take one of her songs and try to sound like her, odds are you won't sound very good. Pick a song from someone who sings nicely. Perhaps you'd be better off.
For music they seem to like on that show, something.
Here's Shanna doing her Janis Joplin.
I prefer the burping.
I did. She had gone there and just burped. She probably would have gone through to Hollywood, I think. The guys were worse than the girls, however. Here's Ben. And what Ben does is he tries to suck up to the judges by slipping their names into the lyrics, which I always find endlessly entertaining.
That's pathetic.
Here's Ben doing Elton John's Crocodile Rock.
I remember when Rock was young. Me and Paula had so much fun.
Can I stop this now?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Me and Paula. Shut up.
She's going to say, well, he mentioned my name. I have to send him to Hollywood.
Hey, after her history, how do we know that it's not true?
One of my favorite things about Simon is not only his blunt assessment of people's lack of talent, but when he calls guys to their face gay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah.
Here he is. The look on this guy's face when Simon was done was spectacular.
I will be. I will be for real.
Grant, I'm tempted to say come back in a dress.
Come back in a dress. Oh, come on. It's not bad enough that they don't let you go through the next level of a talent show, but he's got to say come back in a dress.
Question his sexuality. Ralph, who's responsible for all the kids wanting to do those multi-octave runs that they're not capable of? Is it the Mariah influence? Where's that coming from?
The Christina Aguilera's. It's
people who can do it.
It's a popular style of singing when you do those runs with all the. Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah.
If you're going to enter the American Idol competition, you should, I don't know, be able to speak English.
It would be helpful.
I think just only because it's American Idol. If you were going to, enter the Norway Idol competition or something, then you should speak Norwegian. It just seems like you should have some mastery of the language with which you're singing in.
Sure.
Fabienne, a young lady, did not have that particular skill.
In a restless world like this is... Love is handed before it's begun, and to many like kisses.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I can't listen to any more of that.
Yeah, no one can.
Wow.
I didn't understand a word of that.
And lastly was Brandon. Brandon came in and started his audition off with a couple of minutes of stand-up comedy.
Oh, good. Very funny, was he?
And some wacky voices.
Good.
And some slapstick.
Because that's what this show's known for.
And a funny wig.
No.
Oh, good.
And then launched into his original song that he wrote for the competition.
Okay.
Which is the second worst thing you can do next to singing Janis Joplin songs. Here is his version of his own original song, Why I'm the Next American Idol.
Oh, good.
You see, I don't think I know that I am the next American Idol. I know that you are wondering why. I will sit back and relax.
Brandon, can I put a stop to this? Brandon.
Sure.
Sure, you can put a stop to it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. They ended up getting up from the table and walking away from Brandon.
Really? Because he wouldn't stop?
He was relentless. Nice. Yeah, he wouldn't stop.
Then he said, wait, is that a yes or no?
Yes. Is that a yes or no? Hey!
Am I going to Hollywood?
Yeah, Miami was a treat.
He interprets them walking out of the room as I might have won.
They're on the fence. He doesn't know.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
I feel like the guy who found out that, that the,
yes.
What was that, oh, never mind. I don't know. We don't have time for me to figure out what I'm trying to say.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Now imagine that times 365 and you got my life.
Yeah. I think being Kevin's tougher than being a hockey player or a football player.
It's weird that he has all that brain damage because he didn't play either sport. It's 7:57 of the Kevin and Bean Show, a K-Rock employee who not only saw...
Yo, bye, Rob. Good luck in Japan, man.
Why is that happening?
That was my fault, sorry.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
Sorry.
That hurt. K-Rock employee, a guy we know and trust, I think, who actually saw and videotaped his UFO sighting. We'll explain it. It's up at KRock.com in the Kevin and Bean video section if you want to go check it out. We'll have him on next hour. First, though, 7:57, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's going on?
That was good because now Bean knows what it's like when someone's trying to talk and they just throw a random audio bite in the middle of what you're saying when you're trying to say something.
Which is Bean and I's job, I think.
Yeah. So, maybe you learn a little lesson there. It's very disconcerting sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the greatest story ever. And I want to thank a listener named Dave, the King of Mexico Sanchez, who sent this to me. I appreciate it.
He's a listener,
Dave.
Is he?
Thanks for listening. According to Us Magazine, recently at a New York nightclub, Paris Hilton was seen making out with Alicia Cuthbert.
Okay, now. All right.
Paris and Alicia were all over each other and making out at New York's Tenjun nightclub Tuesday night.
Okay, explain the pink.
Sources tell Us Magazine. We knew that Paris was a skank, but who knew?
Yeah.
That Alicia liked to have a little fun.
That's fantastic.
That's fantastic. Is there video someplace?
I hope so.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if I can go on. I just got to sit there and just think about that.
That's so hot.
Oh, trust me, it'd be better if it wasn't Paris, it was somebody hotter.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Still,
but you can
still,
picture the other half.
All these considered pretty strong. You probably know by now, Britney Spears has been committed yet once again. Her shrink called the cops and said, she's crazy. You guys should come get her. Cited her erratic driving behavior, as well as her downward spiral of general behavior, that she may become a danger to herself and or others. And they took her to UCLA Medical Center. And they are currently holding her for 72 hours just to see how many meds they need to pump into her to keep her
now,
going off.
Now, she got out a day later last time. Does it look like they're going to hold her this time?
I don't know, because you know what the problem is now? You got that battle between the family and Sam Lufty, her manager slash friend slash leech.
Right.
And I guess it depends on who wins that fight.
Yeah.
TMZ.com just posted a story, the family telling off Sam, basically saying, look, we're responsible for her now. You're no longer needed. So, I don't know. If they get their way, I'm sure she will spend at least 72 hours getting some help.
Does it matter if she wants to stay? Like, it sounds like she kind of went voluntarily and willingly. So maybe she'll say, hey, I'd like to stay in here to be safer. Feel better.
I think it matters for the rest of us. I don't know if it does her.
Apparently she was calm, but certainly didn't go willingly. She didn't check herself in. The cops came and picked her up. I mean, this was definitely a 5150.
She just knew it was coming.
Right. Yeah. So, and she didn't freak out when she knew they were on their way. So they certainly can hold her for 72 if they choose to. So we'll keep following that story and see what's going on. Cameron Diaz has a new boyfriend.
Oh.
You believe the New York Daily News. His name, Scott Speedman.
No kidding.
Remember Scott
Why
Speedman
do I know that name?
From Felicity?
Yes,
oh,
I do.
Yeah.
Apparently, the two met up around New Year's and then headed to the Bahamas together for some fun and sun on the beach.
Well, all right.
She only dates celebrities, right?
Yes, exclusively. Okay. Even Scott Speedman-level celebrities. Not exactly an A-lister, but he's a good-looking fella.
Sure.
So he's got that going for him. Want to congratulate all the winners of Victoria's Secret's third annual What is Sexy Awards.
Sure.
As we enter into awards season, quick rundown of who won what. Eva Mendes won Sexiest Actress. Eric Bana, the Australian actor, won for Sexiest Actor. Sexiest Lips, Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
Sure. Sexiest Eyes, Kate Bosworth.
Nope.
I don't see that at all. She's got tiny little beady eyes.
I don't either.
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox has some eyes on her.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie, too, by the way. Great eyes.
Ali Larder won for Sexiest Legs.
Sure.
Scarlett Johansson, Sexiest Style. I don't know what that means, but I'm all for it. Sexiest Mom was Victoria Beckham. Posh Spice.
Yeah, I'm not a, no.
Maybe Skinniest Mom. I don't know what sexiest. Sexiest Dad, Justin Chambers. He's a porn star, isn't he?
I don't know who that is.
Grey's Anatomy.
Justin Chambers. I just go in your chambers, ladies, and make some racket.
He is Alex on Grey's Anatomy.
Alex is our associate producer. She's not on Grey's Anatomy.
Same name.
Stupid bean.
Rihanna, sexiest female musician. Chris Brown, sexiest male musician.
Mike?
No.
Sexiest smile, Ryan Seacrest.
What?
He hosted the award ceremony, by the way, that was held in a...
what a surprise.
...location in Scottsdale, Arizona, leading up to the Super Bowl. So I guess they had to throw him a bone. No pun intended.
Can't wait for that red carpet they're doing.
That's
going to
be great.
Sunday. It's going to be so good.
Hey,
speaking
who are you
which,
a fan of?
Red carpet.
A-holes.
I'd like to get someone on in connection with the Super Bowl.
We've tried.
Ask them about that.
We've tried many times.
But let's go outside. Let's get like an ex-player. Let's, Ron Jaworski, former Eagles quarterback who does Monday Night Football. Yeah, I heard him on the radio. Everybody. He's talking to everybody. He's down there doing all this stuff for ESPN. Let's talk to some guys connected to football and see how they feel about that addition to the circus that is the NFL's Super Bowl.
Yeah, the red carpet.
Speaking of which, Paula Abdul, of course, is having her big comeback appearance on the Super Bowl this weekend. They will debut her new video for her new song, Can't Stop the Music. Dance Like a Madman.
It is the crappiest song I've ever heard.
Dance Like There's No Tomorrow.
Dance Like There's No Tomorrow.
Oh, my Lord. So let him move my body. Forget about all my problems. When I hear my song, I'm gonna lose control. Can't hear that. All I want to do is stay right here on the floor. Get lost tonight and dance like there's no tomorrow. Don't care about the sunrise. Somebody take
Wow, could they produce your voice a little bit more so we could maybe hear it?
Sounds like Fergie and Britney Spears had a love child.
With Stephen Hawking.
Sounds like a B-side of a Britney Spears single.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound that out of place compared to much of what is on pop radio these days. I mean, I don't think it's horrible any more so than most of those songs are.
Anyway, people are wondering why Paula is sending in the video as opposed to making a live appearance this weekend at the Super Bowl. And the executive producer at Fox Sports says it's just not enough time for a live performance.
In that at the Super Bowl. 6.5 hour pregame.
Just there isn't enough time.
Because that's 3 minutes.
So they can play the song.
Yes, which is the same amount of time.
They can play it recorded.
Yes.
But she can't sing it live.
Take way too long. Same length.
I don't understand that at all.
Hmm. How disappointing is it that Paula has been rational and sober on American Idol each week this year?
That's not
bogus.
So much fun.
That's way bogus.
But here's the thing. These audition shows are shot over a six-month period, months in advance of the actual show.
Oh, so it's not one day after another of traveling?
No. So I'm hoping once we gear up and go into the live weekly shows, she will shine through yet once
tipping
again.
Tipping them back.
Apparently, sources close to Paula tell OK Magazine that the real reason she's not performing live is she's so emotionally fragile, there's no possible way she could handle doing a live
show. That I believe.
Yeah, I do too. And that's what we want to see.
Yeah.
Fox.
See a meltdown.
Right.
Apparently, Paula's handlers don't want to chance her breaking down on the biggest TV show of the year.
She cries when she runs out of Cheetos. I mean, she's just way
Imagine
weak.
If something went wrong on stage.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
She just had a meltdown.
That'd be so good.
Greatest thing ever.
Simon came out, started yelling at her.
Started giving her more Cheetos so she wouldn't cry anymore. Today's celebrity birthday is Justin Timberlake. Speaking of Super Bowl disasters. Remember the boob?
Oh,
remember the boob?
That's when all this hell started.
Changed our lives.
Seems like so long ago that we saw Janet's boob, doesn't it?
Yep.
And yet look at us now.
Yeah.
Still scared of the boob.
Yep.
And the butt.
Mm-hmm.
That too.
27 years old today. Portia de Rossi. Speaking of boobs and butts, she's 35 years old today. Minnie Driver. Who I recently had a chance to see in person. She is stunning in person.
It's a beautiful girl.
She is 38 years old today. And Johnny, I wish we could tell that story.
I know, but we can't.
Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols. He's 52. Also stunning in person. Oh, you know, he looks good on television. He looks good in the pictures. But you see him in person, Johnny Rotten? Ooh, he's luminous.
I'm not sure that's true.
And teeth? Like chiclets that have been chewed and had tobacco juice spit all over them and then rolled around in the sand
for 50 years
and then stepped on with golf shoes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There's one thing I know. It's that many people love living in Southern California.
Yeah.
But if they had to pick the one thing they don't like about it, what do you guys think it would be? What would be number one on that list of complaints about living in the Southland?
Ryan Seacrest?
Okay, assuming he's number one, we'll have to take it for granted. Right. What's number two?
Well, I would have to say traffic.
Traffic.
Traffic is the answer.
Forever.
Yeah.
And that's why we have good news for you, because our mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa, has a plan.
And the play on the most aggressive, they say, since the 1980s ranges from what seems so possible, synchronizing lights, to other challenges, finding dollars to finish the red line and the goal line, too. And facing serious debate, what could be a prototype for many places, turning Olympic and Pico, starting in West L.A. one way. What a difference, but at a price.
Now, there are always going to be the naysayers. There'll be opposition, obviously. But you can't say that you want to reduce traffic and not join in the effort.
And while they won't be finding much debate, more left turn signals, about 100 to be exact, before June. And then there's the Tiger Team concept. It's growing. It's moving to Sunset Boulevard, towing those cars, blocking some far right lanes at rush hour.
Okay.
Mayor Villaraigosa on the case. We got him on the phone with us right now on the world famous K-Rock, by the way. Oh, wow, look at that. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Mr. Mayor? Hello? Mayor Villaraigosa, Kevin and Bean here. Can you hear us, sir?
Yeah, barely. Yeah.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at the 405 by the 105 interchange. Jerry, it's kind of crazy out here today. Jerry, get out of the way!
Can you turn down your radio or something? We can barely hear you, sir. What's going on?
Turn down the double dash bus. It's my theme song, okay? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is the bus your theme song?
Because I'm driving the bus, bitch. What do you think?
You're driving the bus?
Here's the part of the conversation that we didn't tell yet, and that's that to promote public transportation, Villaraigosa says he will ride a bus, subway, or light rail line at least once a week.
Not only am I riding it, I'm driving it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not immune from getting my hands dirty from taking care of this problem. It's a big problem, you know what I'm saying?
So you're driving the bus.
I thought the only thing I could do is handle things Mexican style.
Yeah.
And fit as many people as I can into a vehicle way too small for it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit down at the back of the bus, okay? Keep your hands on our side. All right.
Wow. That's freaky that the mayor himself is driving the bus. Now, how many people do you have on that ride right now, Mr. Mayor?
As of right now, let me see. I carried a 245. hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, on your right-hand side, you will see Venice Beach. If you have your Dickies or your Levi's, prepare to jump in the ocean. It's a famous sea here in Southern California. Thank you.
Wow.
I'm also a tour bus.
You're a tour guide,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, like I said, I got to clean this place up. I mean, get as many people off the road as possible. You know. Quiet down, lamb.
That sounds like a sheep.
Yeah, I said lamb, but either way.
Why is there one on a bus?
Hold on. I see a fine hyena next to me. I'm going to hit my switches. I don't know where I'm coming from. Pancake, yeah, make it bounce.
You're making a bus bounce?
Yeah, I got a fly. It's a hydro, so I got spokes. Wow. It's got a greater mural on the side. It's great. Okay, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you will see on your right-hand side, Universal City Nissan. No credit, no citizenship necessary to buy a new Maxima today. Check.
Wow.
Service right
Did you just shoot a weapon?
That's right.
You shot a weapon?
That's right. Hold on. I'm working as an active police officer as well.
Pull over to the right hand side of the road. You made an illegal right hand turn.
You can't pull people.
No more turning for you.
You're actually killing motorists.
Wow. Keep your animals out of the aisle where I come to.
An elephant?
Yeah, I guess that's what that is.
What?
Hey, Omar, get the guy out of the elephant.
You didn't just shoot the elephant, did you?
No, I shot Omar.
Omar. Oh, okay, good. Okay, that's good. That's like...
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine.
Do you ever turn anything down, Kevin? Do they ever come to you and say, we want you to be on TV, and you just say, you know what, I'm bad, and that's bad, and no.
This is a mess.
I'll tell you what I do is I do find myself in situations where, if I recall correctly, I read that and I went, no way. I can't. There's not a possible way that I could pull that off. I could sit here for a week and do it 1,000 times, wouldn't pull it off.
So I'll just do it once.
Move on.
That was Kevin and Lisa on the late, great television show, The OC. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, 8:28 on a Thursday morning. Time to talk just briefly about one of my favorite subjects. This is Bean speaking, and I... Every day, look to the skies, hoping to see the aliens arriving. It hasn't happened to me yet, but Trevor, who works here behind the scenes at the world-famous K-Rock, joins us in the studio right now, and it did happen to him. Good morning, Trevor.
What's up? How you doing?
How you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing all right.
I didn't hear anything about this until just this week when Lightning posted the video up in the video section of the Kevin and Bean page on K-Rock.com, but apparently you saw some pretty cool stuff. It looks like from the video maybe over the holidays. Is that right?
Yeah, it was on Christmas night.
This past one?
This past one. Okay. It just took me a long time to digitize the videos. I'm not really good at that stuff.
He's a production guy, by the way. That tells you anything about how good he is.
Well, yeah. I saw it Christmas night after Christmas dinner at the in-laws.
Had you been drinking before we move on? No drinking?
No drugs,
First
no
question
drinking.
Is always about eggnog, isn't it? It has to be when you're talking about these sightings.
No drugs, no drinking. No weed, nothing.
Nothing
okay.
at all.
All right.
So just 11:30 at night about, pulled in front of the house, got out of the car. And for some reason, I just looked up in the sky, and I saw these really super bright amber lights, like three of them.
Oh, they were amber. They look white in the video.
They look white in the video, but they were really bright amber lights.
Okay.
And they were super high in the sky, and they were almost kind of like moving in slow motion, but they were kind of stationary at the same time. You know, they were just doing these little formations. They formed a circle, and then that's when my wife was like, go get the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right. So I ran inside, got the camera, and proceeded to film
it. Always good news, by the way, when your wife says, go get the camera.
Exactly. proceeded to film for like 2 minutes, and what you see is on the website.
You can go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean videos, and it looks like they jump around. Like, this is the kind of thing where you go, I don't know of anything in our current world that could be there and then immediately be way over there.
Yeah, it was the kind of thing where I knew it's not an airplane. There is an airport by,
right,
but it was in the other direction, but it's so high in the sky, and you know, airplanes just don't look like that. You know,
yeah,
you know when you see something that you haven't seen before. So,
now, how many lights, Trevor, do you count on this video?
There's,
are there three lights?
I only saw three.
There's three of them.
Yeah,
three,
yeah,
lights. Okay, and they appear to be in a vertical line,
mm-hmm,
which,
yeah,
is kind of weird. Were you able to see? Because I know it's sometimes tough to see on the video what you saw with your own eyes in real life. But were you able to see the size or shape of the thing? Could you see anything beyond those lights, or just the illumination?
All I saw were these three lights, and they were circular, really, you know, like orbs.
But you couldn't see any kind of dark formation of what they were in, or
no,
anything.
Like, I didn't see them. They were attached to anything or anything like that. I didn't see that. But then after the 2 minute mark, each of the lights kind of disappear, like one at a time. Like,
mm-hmm,
one of the lights just go gone. And I mean, if it was something, you know, like independent lights, like that would have to be moving pretty fast to get out of my field of vision that fast.
Right.
You know, or if they just dimmed, I don't know. But then right after that, I made a call to the UFO Reporting Center.
Is there one? Is there a hotline or something?
I didn't even know there was one, but my wife knew. She was like, you got to call the National UFO Reporting Center.
How does she know that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
So I went inside, and she looked it up online, and sure enough, there was a hotline number. So I called the hotline,
thinking that maybe a lot of other people in the Phoenix area or whatever would have seen it.
I've never, you know, seen anything like this before. So I called up, and the guy answered. He was really cranky.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's Christmas. Like, it's Christmas night, dude.
I figured this, but like,
but
a call,
it's Christmas
center
night.
You know what I mean?
But yeah,
I thought it was like, you know, the U.S. Army call center. Everyone's kind of manning the posts. Like, okay, let's wait.
It's one guy in a basement, is what it is.
I
now, hold on. I need some clarification here, Kevin. You said the Phoenix area. The video,
sorry,
though, was shot in Burbank, wasn't
was
it? Burbank?
Burbank. I'm sorry.
Okay. And the reason I ask, and I don't know if we haven't had this discussion, but I'd love to call a variable because I know we had something else planned.
Yeah,
I'd love to have people call in who have watched the video at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean video section, with their impressions of what they think. And since it was in Burbank, it's pretty likely there's somebody else out there who saw the same thing and maybe get some sort of a consensus idea on what it likely was.
What do you think it was, Trevor? Because a UFO means unidentified. It doesn't necessarily mean alien.
Right.
What
right.
do you think it was?
No, I thought, I mean... I'm not dispelling the fact that it, you know, possibly could be an alien craft. I don't know. I do believe in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I saw? I'm not sure. But I know it was not a plane. And
I'll tell you
been.
One thing. Your camera work makes Cloverfield look like it's stationary.
That's, I mean, it's pretty bad.
You want to step across the room if you're going to watch this video.
You're right about that. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you saw that incident Christmas night in Burbank that Trevor is talking about, or if you've even just been to krock.com and watched the video, and I will tell you this, and Kevin brings up a good point, I'm about out of patience with bad videos of lights in the sky.
Yeah,
I
know, but
we're at the point in 2008 where our video equipment is technologically advanced enough that we ought to be able to get some decent close-up shots of something that we really can look at and go, that's something I've never seen before. That confuses
but
me.
But I understand it now, because watching his video, he wants to zoom in, mm-hmm, to get a better view of what it is. And it's nighttime, and
right,
your camera kind of autofocus or whatever. And
yeah,
it just,
mm-hmm,
it's, and once you zoom in, it can go out of your field so quickly. And then he's got to back up. He's got his, you know, house trimmed with Christmas lights and stuff. And I,
right, right, right,
might have just been that. I don't know.
Did it shake you up, Trevor? Like, when you and your wife went back inside, were you kind of, wow, I don't get that. I don't know what that was. It's weird.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Or was it not that big a deal to you at the time?
No, for sure. When we were seeing it, it was pretty scary because, honestly, I had no idea what it was.
All right, we're going to take some calls in the next break, 1-800-520-1067. And when we get back, I also want to ask you about the grouchy guy that answers the hotline.
Right.
Shouldn't he have been super excited about that?
I mean,
shouldn't he have said, yes, a UFO call?
I'll tell you what he said.
All right, we'll be right back.
Interesting, we'd be playing Foo Fighters as we're having this conversation. Coincidence?
Good.
Yeah, probably so. Didn't
probably
have much to do with him. K-Rock engineer, what do you call him? Sound technician? Production genius?
Producer.
Trevor, in the studio here at the world famous K-Rock. Very talented young guy, generally sober. He shot a video that is up at krock.com in the video section of the Kevin and Bean page at krock.com. You can go look at it right now. And it's, well,
for lack of a better term, it is UFO, meaning it is unidentified flying objects, something that we can't really explain. If you saw it or have watched the video and have a thought on it, we'd like to hear from you now at 1-800-520-1067.
All right, let's begin with Sal in Los Angeles, who also saw it. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys.
You saw these three lights exactly as he described them?
Yeah, I saw them. I wasn't watching the video or anything, but I was around the area at the time, and, I mean, I saw these lights up in the sky. I said, what the heck was that?
Okay, and what did it strike you as?
It struck me as something I've never seen before, so I told my nephew instantly, hey, that UFOs, man, look.
Yeah, but you were high, though, right?
You're high now.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, we're going to discount your testimony. I'm sorry.
I've been high for like 10 years.
What's always interesting about these, Richard, thank you for the call. What's always interesting about these is, or Sal, I'm sorry, is that it's the way they move. It's not just the lights and you can't make out what it is. It's the way they come in and out of your field of vision. And that's what's always strange about it is because you see them just stopping. You see them starting. Yeah. You see them going up and down, which planes can't do. That's what's so perplexing about so many of these sightings.
All right, let's go to Aspet from Sherman Oaks. Your name is Aspet.
Yes.
Okay, you saw the same thing?
I saw something very, very similar. I was at the top of Glendale Hill.
Glendale?
Sorry. Go ahead.
And basically it was in a triangular form, and it was a bunch of, like, green, yellow, bluish lights, and by the time I realized what I had seen, I mean, it was an airplane. It was, like, in a huge triangular shape, and I ran down to tell my girlfriend at the time, and she was just white. Her face was white.
Dating a white girl. That's not that big a...
I don't think that anything to do with the story.
Right. Yeah, gotta make, but race it everything. Look, we're trying to confine it to this sighting, though. These lights on that night, Christmas night in Burbank. It sounds like Aspet may be calling about a different experience. We're just trying to figure out if we can identify this one.
Is there any possibility that it was an airplane?
I don't think so at all.
Watching the video online, which, you know, it isn't the best quality or whatever, I can't imagine that it was, but...
I mean, I've looked up in the sky so many times, you know, in hopes that one day I'd see something like this.
Right.
And I know the difference between an airplane and what I saw, for sure.
All right.
What about 2, 3, 4 airplanes maybe flying in some sort of tight formation? Could that be it?
I would seriously not think they would stay stationary for as long as they did. I mean, I filmed for 3 minutes straight almost in the same spot. You know what
Helicopters.
I mean?
Helicopters.
No, they weren't moving like helicopters.
Jason Chatsworth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
I saw the video because I was driving home from work yesterday or school, and I was listening to Cole Alvarez, and of course she was pitching this too at like 11 o'clock last night
like
10.
Yeah.
And I went online to go see the video. It was under, you know, your guys' website.
Right. We know where it is.
And I can't imagine why the National UFO whatever Center would just blow you off like that, because it doesn't make sense. If it were in fact something of that nature, wouldn't they be at your house right now? Like,
okay, so that brings up the point. Mind? You call the UFO hotline guy,
yeah,
and he's cranky with you.
Yeah,
what?
It was again. I thought
he wanted to kiss you on the lips.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like Ghostbusters or whatever. Everyone's like, you alert the authorities.
But imagine how many calls from nut jobs they get every day, though.
True, especially Christmas.
Right.
But wait a minute. I would be upset if I got those calls. He runs the UFO sighting hotline. That's his job.
It would be like the 911 operator being pissed that somebody else is sick.
Yeah. Oh, I got some emergency calls tonight. I'm so pissed.
That's kind of car accident. Leave me alone.
So what did this person say?
Well, that's kind of how he answered the phone. I called, and it was like 11:30 or so, you know, here, and he answers the phone. He's like, hello, National UFO Reporting Center. And I was like, uh-oh. I said, dude, there's a UFO over Burbank. And he goes, what makes you think you saw a UFO?
Okay, that's not what you want to hear from the guy running the hotline.
No, exactly. It's not.
I mean, come on. He sounds like the biggest skeptic in the world.
I know. And I said, well, they were strange lights in the sky. And at this point, I think I'm probably sounding ridiculous to this guy anyway.
Sure.
And he goes, well, were they moving? What was the deal? I said, well, they were kind of moving in like a slow-mo. And then he started yelling.
He started yelling?
Yeah, he goes, I'll ask you again, were they moving across the sky, horizon to horizon? And I was like, no. He said, well, what you saw was probably not a UFO. That's what he said.
That was it?
And then I'm like, really? But he's like, did you take a video? And I said, well, yeah, I did.
He goes, congratulations, you're one of the thousand. All like sarcastically. And I was like, oh, man, this is, I was almost going to hang up. And then he goes, well, here's what you got to do. Alert the authorities. Fill out a report if you want and try and get us a video. I don't know.
Blah, 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 blah.
And as if I'm going to call the Burbank police and say I saw three lights are no longer there.
Yeah, they don't have anything better to do with their time.
Exactly. Right. That's the UFO reporting guy's job.
Wow.
That's awesome. Let's talk to Richard in La Mirada real quick. He's on line five. He has seen it and has an opinion on what it might be. Richard, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Morning, fellas. Lisa, hi.
Hello.
Hi, what do you think it is?
Oh, definitely UFO. I mean, see the way he was shaking? He was scared. He thought they were going to come and get him.
Trevor was scared. I agree.
Right. But what do you make of the lights? I mean, is there any rational, non-alien explanation for what he was filming that night?
A big balloon? Of course not. I mean, it has to be UFO. There's no helicopters that are flying that formation at night anyways. There's no way a plane going to be vertical like that. Definitely UFO.
Would you like a job at the UFO hotline? Take phone calls from people because you sound like you're a believer.
Right. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to John in Sherman Oaks. He thinks he knows who's behind the lights. By the way, we've made this distinction many, many times on many different discussion topics over the years. But there's a long distance between admitting you don't know what it is and jumping to the conclusion that it has to be any particular thing. And I think
except
a lot
in
of
this
people,
case, it's an alien.
Except, well, maybe right? It is. John, what do you think?
Sorry to burst your guys' bubble.
What?
It is straws, a trash bag, and birthday candles.
What are you talking about?
What?
I'm not joking. I've done it before.
What are
in
you?
Burbank.
What?
But you're what?
Did you do it Christmas night?
Not Christmas night, but I know the guys that do it all the time.
What are you talking
what?
About?
Okay, what
explain
was it?
I'm not joking. I
what
swear
is
to God.
It?
Okay, well, you get like an X. Imagine an X made out of straws. Okay, you put the birthday candles in such a way connected to the straws. And it makes a hot air balloon with the trash bag. It goes up in the air. You set off three, and it looks like it goes in and out because it's burning out and then relighting itself.
Well, they don't relight themselves.
I swear to God, dude, I've done it before. That's exactly what it is. I saw it 3 years ago. I was freaking out in Burbank. And then I met the guy at a party. He said, yeah, I do that all the time.
But hold on a sec. The video that I'm looking at KROQ.com, the lights seem like, it's hard to tell the distance on a video at night, but it seems like they're way bigger than birthday candles. I mean, they're far enough away from Trevor that I don't know how you could even see a birthday candle from that distance.
That you put a lot of them in there. It's not just one birthday candle. You put like 20 of them in there.
Mm. While I think what you do is funny, I can't. It doesn't seem like that's what this is. But I mean,
no, it is. I've seen the video. That is it. That's it.
You've seen the video at K-Rock, so you know exactly what it looks like.
That's it.
Can you get us the guy who does that? Could we talk to him at some point?
I can try.
We're not going to be mad at him. I love him.
Yeah.
I'll learn how to do it myself.
I think Kevin wants to go with him and see how it's done and see what it looks like. I think that would be fascinating.
I can make some phone calls and call you guys back.
All right.
Please do.
Okay. Let us know.
Sounds good. Thank you, John.
Hey, do you want a job at the UFO reporting hotline?
Oh, what a horse. What a horse face.
How dare you?
Come on.
Why do you
Let's
hate
be real.
She's
real here?
There's a little something going on there with the horse.
She's
hot.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa, who defends
something.
The most fugly, blubbery broad we make fun of. Lisa will come to her aid. Janelle Maloney, she can't
she's
back
got kind
up.
Of a
I
long
love her
face.
So much.
She's hot.
And Bean yesterday said, why does she always look like she's frowning?
She's hot. I just don't think she's as hot as Bean says she is.
Janelle Maloney's not hot.
Janelle Maloney was Nana on the West Wing for 7 seasons. She was the guest on House this week. I've not yet watched it because I need to wait till my wife's out of the house. So I have to talk about
that. Stop it.
But I do love her, and Ralph could not be more wrong.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
No, you don't, actually.
You
You're fine. Congratulations to Calvin Von Soke.
Calvin Von Soke.
Calvin Von Soke. That's the name.
Sounds like a children's product for the bath time. Hey, kids, you love bubble baths? Try new Calvin Von Soke. He's your best friend bath time pal.
It also sounds like a porn name for somebody
who's... Turns bath time into playtime. He's Calvin Von Soke.
That's R. Kelly's, other alternative identity.
Well said.
Yeah,
anyway,
wow.
He gets one tickets to see Paramore, My Chemical Romance, and more at the Bamboozle Left Festival. Grand prize drink tomorrow for Paramore in Berlin. I hope Calvin wants.
What? What'd you say?
Call him up. Get him on the phone.
Get Calvin on the phone. Calvin Von Soke.
Dave, we need to talk to Calvin Von Soke.
All right.
Who's R. Kelly's other alternative.
tomorrow morning. Grand prize drawing, blah, 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 blah. It's Kara, Kevin, Pastor Los Angeles. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Let's just give the grand prize to Calvin Von Socky now. Who needs a grand prize more than Calvin Von Socky?
Especially to Berlin.
We have to.
Right. Herbie's already a baron.
I am the Baron Von Socky.
It has to legally be a random drawing, guys.
Oh, F legal.
There's nothing we can do about it.
F legal.
I'm just saying.
You're the man.
I'm just saying.
Play by the man's
rules.
That's
what the man tells us.
I'm an outlaw.
Play by my own rules.
Well, speaking of outlaws, how about those Scientologists, huh?
Uh-oh.
What?
Yeah. Got Calvin.
This is a fat. We have Calvin? Well, we gotta talk about
Calvin. I'm sorry, Ralph.
Socky.
I didn't know whether to insert
it now. No, by all
insert
means.
It now?
Okay. Absolutely insert it now.
Calvin?
She said.
Calvin?
Yes.
Calvin Von Socky?
Von Zolk.
Von Zolk.
Von Zolk.
Oh, that's
so that's not
better.
Nearly as
funny. Sorry.
Yeah, never mind.
Can you change your name?
Sure. For you guys, yeah.
It's spelled S-Z-O-K-E.
Yeah.
Zolk.
What's the origin of that name?
Hungarian.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we may be sending you to Germany tomorrow, so be listening around 7:15. We do the grand prize drawing, all right?
All right, awesome. Thank you.
All right, man.
Okay, but if you win, we're going to call you Van Socky. You know that, right?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Okay, thank you, Calvin.
Calvin Van Socky. Baron Van Zolk. This is a...
Where were we?
We were talking about Scientology.
Yes.
Story was released yesterday about some of the contributions made to the church by some of its more high-profile A-list members.
I saw this, the amounts they gave.
Did you see the numbers
on
this? Yes,
unbelievable.
Dude. Celebrity gifts to the church from 2007. Nah, let's start at the bottom.
Yeah.
Priscilla Presley, wife, of course, ex-wife of the legendary rocker Elvis Presley, got the patron award this year for donating $50,000 to the church.
It seems like a lot.
It's not an unusual amount for wealthy people to give to a cause like that.
That's
though,
she's
think.
In charge of the Presley estate, so I'm sure
right.
She's got it to give, and that's fine, you know. Kelly Preston, who is a Scientologist and wife to John Travolta, another
sure.
High-profile Scientologist, gave $1 million, as did her husband, John.
Wow.
So they each got the Gold Meritorious Award, which I think is nice. Kirstie Alley,
mm-hmm.
who, by the way, would be dead without Scientology.
Really?
She told us so
that's
much.
That's what she says, yeah.
On her video.
Hmm.
She got the Diamond Meritorious Award, $5 million contribution to the church in 2007.
How does she have
How
that
does
kind
she
of money?
Have $5 million?
Got to figure Cheers money, right?
She has to have points on Cheers because that gets rerun a ton.
Wow.
But the Patron Laureate Award, the number one award.
More than $5
million? Given to the high-profile Scientologist with the biggest donation.
Tom Cruise.
Bart Simpson.
The voice of Bart Simpson.
Nancy Cartwright, 50-year-old actress who does the voice of Bart on that show. $10 million.
Last year alone?
Last year alone, 2007.
Tom destroyed his whole career for them. That doesn't rank.
Tom gave $5 million in an installment plan.
He's a businessman.
Nancy gave double that amount.
$10 million.
$10 million to the church.
Jackpot.
Did you guys happen to hear?
I gotta start me at church. By the way,
no
real
kidding.
Quick, Lisa, before you
okay.
get to, we'll get to you
Go
in
ahead.
A second. But they did the math at 22 episodes per season, and what she's making with The Simpsons, she makes an annual paycheck of $5.5 million for The Simpsons. That's
okay.
what she makes in a year. Not a bad
she's
deal.
Giving double
no.
her salary.
She gave 2 years' salary. Last
wow.
year to the church.
Unbelievable.
That's more than the 10% tithe that is typical in many communities.
Yes. I got to start me a church.
Anonymous may have struck. I heard this
what?
On KNX this morning
yes.
that 10 different Scientology centers were sent envelopes with white powder, and they had to close down the centers. There's one, I guess, in Glendale that
Glendale?
Was closed down for several hours.
Hope there's not one in Santa Monica.
That's Monica!
Turned out to be cornstarch, of course.
Of course.
But... And that was after some sort of cyber attack.
I don't think that's the way to close
last
them down,
last week or
the
week before.
Well, they're just trying to screw with them. They're just
yeah.
trying to make their lives miserable. And by the way, I wondered, Ralph, when you started this story of these reported contributions to the church, I wonder if this is the kind of information that Anonymous is now putting out there, because we don't usually see a rundown like this.
That's true. We do not.
Good point.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Fascinating stuff.
There's a ton
She's
of
dead
oh,
to me much? Anyway, though. She's dead to me.
Nancy Cartwright?
Yes.
Why?
She publicly
Why?
Embarrassed
oh,
our own
right.
king of Mexico.
That's right.
She could have easily been cool about stuff, publicly humiliated the nicest man in the world, David King of Mexico.
She wasn't too warm with you two on the red carpet, was
Maybe
she, when you guys spoke with her?
You two was there?
We brought her on the little podium area,
or the pedestal, and Dave says, "Hey, you're not a 12-year-old boy," and not even cheesy, very just kind of matter of fact. And she turns, looks at him in front of everyone. Yeah, with the most disgusted look. I want her dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
You said, "Don't have a cow, question. Man." She said that to her.
Cowabunga.
Last question on this story, Ralph, because it is fascinating. How much did Calvin von Soke give?
Apparently, Calvin's contribution not listed this year in the top five. So
he left him a few mansions. Castles.
Calvin von Soke. Oh, where was Paris Hilton's night vision scope secret agent video camera when this was going on?
No kidding.
Us Magazine says recently at a New York nightclub called Tenjun Club, on a Tuesday night apparently this took place, Paris Hilton was seen making out with Alicia Cuthbert.
Wow. Well, all right.
How'd that go?
That's strong. Well, that is strong.
Alicia Cuthbert?
Yeah.
That's good news.
Have you seen Paris's new lesbianic haircut, too, by the way?
No.
Yeah.
No. What is the lesbianic haircut?
It's like a bob short, a cut bob short dilly deal.
Kind of seismologist-like.
Kind of seismologist, yeah.
Oh,
sort
okay.
of a little Caltech-y.
Like, okay. like Dr. Kate? Is that what she's looking like now?
So maybe she's going over to the other side. Maybe she's just, I think she might have had every penis there is to have. I think she's run out. Now she has to switch sides.
Turn to the other side?
Yeah. By the way, I think she's on Letterman tomorrow night.
Paris Hilton?
Paris Hilton, yeah. After her last trip there, it's pretty gutsy of her, considering he would not talk about anything but her time in prison.
That was awesome.
Remember she said, "You're going to make me cry"?
Yeah.
It was very, very funny. And Us Weekly is claiming that Angelina Jolie is not officially announcing her pregnancy yet for a good reason. They say, they have sources close to the Pitt Jolie camp, saying that she's going to sell the rights to make the announcement.
Sell the rights to make the announcement.
Sell the rights to a particular high-bidding publication to make the official announcement, and then take all that money and donate it to charity.
Well, that seems cool.
They're doing a lot of work in New Orleans.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think they don't at all.
Brad's
doing a lot of work in New Orleans.
Brad's doing a lot of work in New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of which, although rumor has it they're going to have another, at least one, maybe twins, natural child. They are looking into adopting perhaps some Katrina orphans from, from
excellent.
New Orleans.
That's what they need, like 100 kids.
Yeah, I think good. They do. They're going to have to set up their house like a kennel, though, aren't they? They're going to need like cages and a pen in the back and a running area and just food bowls put out all the time. It's going to get nuts over there at that house.
They're going to have to call up our friends that we talk to in Georgia or Alabama, wherever they are, that have 18 kids and find out how they're able to get through it all.
That's well, right. I know... They're not going to like sleeping in the same bedroom pretty
I
soon.
I hear them
come here now.
Come here a couple years pretty quick.
Town.
I hear that's true, but we don't really have time.
What does your city do?
Kind of late. We got...
long time him.
We got Harvey Levin coming up from TMZ.
But do we have you talking to the 18...
No,
yes.
No,
we do.
No.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wow.
Worse than I remember.
Yeah.
Or better.
Or better.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Justin Timberlake turns 27 years old today. Portia de Rossi, who, of course, played Lindsay on Arrested Development.
She's on Nip Tuck now.
Hey!
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
I just watched Nip Tuck. I didn't see her on there.
Well, she's not on every episode, but she's been on quite a bit.
By the way, Nip Tuck, I hadn't seen in a while. Watched an episode this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's jumped the shark a little bit, I think.
Oh, it's always jumped the shark.
Kind of honked up.
It started out that way.
I don't think something by nature can always jump the shark.
It was pushing the envelope or the envelope. And I have no idea.
You people have all spent too much time with me. That's your problem.
And, it was outrageous, and they did outrageous things, but now they've moved to California, and one of the doctors is a star of his own medical drama show, but he's also a plastic surgeon at the same time, and people are pushing people off of rooftops.
You
and
missed the reality show that they were doing for a while, which is hysterically
funny.
That all
happened with the nip and the tuck.
But in real life, Ralph, there are a ton of these Beverly Hills 90210 types who actually still have a practice and star in a TV show, though.
But star in like an ER-type drama show where he's the lead playing a fictional doctor who's a surgeon?
Well, he's only the lead because the other guy, you know, went bonkers.
Yeah, because his agent set him up with a video camera showing him banging some girl and having premature ejaculation.
Exactly.
Come on, Lisa!
I buy it all.
Portia de Rossi, as we mentioned, is 35. Yeah. Minnie Driver, who's on a good TV show called The Richest. She's 38 years old today. Johnny Rotten from the legendary Sex Pistols turns 52. And equally legendary is Harry Wayne Casey.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that? Also known as Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Fat.
Do a little dance. Fat. Make a little love. Get down tonight. Get down tonight.
Fat.
He's still wears the mesh shirts.
Yeah,
though.
He's the interesting combination of fat and mesh shirts.
So
you can really see it.
Casey is 57 years old today. I'm your boogeyman. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
I understand that the NHRA CarQuest Auto Parts Winter Nationals are happening at the Auto Club Raceway at Pomona on Sunday, February 10th.
Sunday,
I got all
Sunday.
That. And I know you win tickets if you call now for Kevin Means What to Do. But Lightning, what I don't get is how do you go to KRock.com and enter to win a drag race with Lightning? What's
wow,
that entail?
That sounds horrible.
Wait a minute. People can drag race with you?
Someone is going to win the opportunity to race against me. Yeah, NHRA has given me a Camaro and the winner, and they'll give us some driving courses and whatnot. And how to drag, we're going to do the quarter mile at Pomona.
You're going to
so
die.
So just the two of you out on the track racing?
Yes.
Yeah, that person
someone's
is going to die.
In front of fans.
Die.
Yeah.
Both
I'm worried.
In front of fans?
I mean, in front of the crowd. It's not like we're on some separate track. I mean, like, if I could potentially
humiliate
myself.
How are they going to explain that?
I hope it's a woman, and I hope she smokes you.
Oh, she will.
Wouldn't that be the best?
A minority possible. Woman.
That is possible. Actually, if you are the type of person who likes fast cars, that's a really cool prize to have the opportunity to win, I think. Someone will enjoy
it. If Lightning weren't driving in the car beside you.
Lightning's going to flip the car, and it's going to be like in Ricky Bobby,
yep.
Where it's going to be such a long crash, you're going to have to cut to a commercial and then come back for the finish.
I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Yes. Somebody put me out.
In my underwear. Perfect.
All right, so go to KRock.com, look for all the details on that. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Kenny in Pomona while we're talking about Lightning's activities. Kenny, good morning. What to do?
What to do, nephew?
Hi, what's going on?
What to do?
What to do, baby boo?
Hi, Kenny.
I was just calling to let you guys know that Travis Pastrana was racing last weekend in his rally car.
Yeah.
And he was in first place about a mile from the finish, and he hit a deer.
Son of a bitch, deer!
Obviously, the deer died, and so did his car. Didn't finish the race. Then he had about a minute of a lead, too.
Didn't you guys talk to him that week?
First
when
place.
He went to do that?
I don't think so.
Did
we talked to him about jumping out of an airplane without a parachute.
Just saying, Kevin and Ben Curse is alive and well. That's all I'm saying.
Could be. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Kenny. That's a bummer if you're in first place. You get knocked out by a deer.
At least he hit it. At least he had the balls to hit it, not avoid it like a certain cow avoiding guy I know.
All right. Let's go to Ryan, who is calling from Glendale. Good morning, Ryan.
Glendale.
What to do, nephew?
What to do? Hi, Ryan.
Well, I'm calling to talk about New York's finest. I was listening to the radio this morning, and it turns out a cop took a 15-year-old girl under his wing, mm-hmm. adopted her, got a lot of credit for it.
Oh, that's nice.
Then it turns out that he was pimping her out.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, your phone dropped out for a second. People might not have heard the number 15. He was
15 years old and pimping her out.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
A cop was pimping out a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Stop.
There's not enough jail time.
What did she look like? Was there a picture?
There wasn't, unfortunately.
Because she's 15.
I'm just saying. I was curious. That's all.
Giddy up.
Okay. Thank you for the call on that.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
All right.
I know you would.
Stop it.
Why?
Well, I think it's obvious.
Let's go to Reyes. Rise?
Reyes.
How do you say your name? Reyes?
Reyes.
Reyes.
From Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning. What'd it do?
What'd it do, baby boo?
Hi.
I just want to talk about Britney, and I'm wondering, when do you think they're going to start filming their movie? Is it before or after she killed herself?
Yeah.
You mean like a movie of her life?
You need a biopic.
Yeah.
Look, if Falco's getting his own movie, I think certainly there's a movie in Britney's ordeal.
She's going to end up killing herself, or she's going to end up in a mental hospital for good.
Yeah, that'd be cool, like Frances Farmer did. That'd be awesome.
Or, and hopefully this will be the option, they get her some medication. And she kind of pulls out of it.
Where's the fun in that, Kevin?
Well, I'm just saying. That would be cool.
Manic depressives are really hard to treat. Harvey was talking about that earlier. And the other thing is when they get into that mania stage, they feel good.
And they don't think they need to take the drugs anymore.
Yeah. And they don't really want to take themselves down.
Yep.
Ralph, you're kind of a...
Yeah, that's true.
You're kind of a showbiz historian here on the show, Ralph. Can you think of any examples of celebrities who have been at where Britney is, who have really had big troubles and have kind of pulled out of it and gone on to live normal, productive lives?
Or are they gone? I mean, when they get to this point, is that it? You got to count them down.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I can't think of any like real big success stories as people rebounding, especially from mental illness. That seems to be the. I've seen people come out of rehab and kind of clean up their act and not drink and drug anymore. But mental illness is.
What was the woman from Indiana Jones that was found in someone's backyard?
Oh yeah. That wasn't Indiana Jones. It was
Margot Kidder from Superman.
Kidder, that's right.
Superman.
Played Lois Lane in Superman.
And she's kind of come back. I mean, she's doing a little bit of work.
No, she's not hiding out in people's lawns.
She's not looking for her bridge work in people's bushes anymore,
right.
If that's what you mean.
But she seems to be functioning.
Not exactly the lead in a new series or anything.
Yeah. She's old, though, too.
Anne Heche had her troubles, remember, when she was going door-to-door looking for aliens.
Oh,
she
had
some problems there for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, I know we're as guilty as anyone else in the media for cashing in, if you will, on Britney.
Probably more.
A lot of time talking about it, but I think all of us sincerely would like to see her be healthy and frankly get hot again. I mean, I think that's what we're looking
for.
The key. We want to see her hot and nude is what we want to see.
Well, she has lost a ton of weight.
Has she?
Yeah, she's lost about 30 pounds.
All right, good. Let's go to Josh in Glendale.
Glendale!
What's going on, Josh?
What a do.
So last night I'm at this pub in Woodland Hills called Scotland Yard, and Andy Dick is there. He's running around looking for people. He happens to walk up to this guy at the bar, pinch him on his butt, and next thing you know, Andy Dick's laid out on the floor unconscious.
Hit
later.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, sadly.
Unfortunately, that's not a surprising story. But guys in general don't like their asses being pinched by other guys.
Speak for yourself.
General. Yeah, right. I'm saying general. There's exceptions. There's exceptions, right. Like Psycho Mike.
I wouldn't hit a guy for it.
I wouldn't either, no.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of Mike, let's close with Steve in Long Beach. Has a question for our own Psycho Mike.
All right, Steve, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
Yeah, I mean, has there been any update? Is he going to go through with it?
Live performance at Brown Ale?
Last time we talked to Vache, or whatever that dude's name was, who was a promoter for...
I think it was Calvin Ronsocchi.
Calvin Ronsocchi for the Sphinx. Yeah. In Glendale, that was the last time we all talked to him. He has not contacted me.
I think we kind of wrote it off as he would get killed, and yet that's why we shouldn't write it off.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we should get a live performance of this.
Okay, bro. How about I unbutton my shirt a little bit, huh? Smoke cigarette? Tell you where I'm coming from. Glendale!
Brown Ale!
Glendale's my town!
Brown Ale!
I love System of a Down!
Brown Ale!
Because I'm Armenian, bro! Covered in hair and jewelry from head to toe! Track car cologne ingrained in my chromosome! Come to my shop, I give you pager and a cell phone! Jewelry on my arm from the knuckle up! Hop in my BMW and then I buckle up! Cruising through Glendale, smoking cigarettes! Looking for my homeboys, bitch, or even better yet! A nice Armenian girl I can flirt with! Covered in fur even when the bitch is shirtless! Check my breath, it smells something awful! I should have brushed my teeth after I had that falafel!
Hummus, kebab, shawarma, tabbouleh!
I have to shave my unibrow, it's getting unruly! And shave my back hair to keep it in check! My penis is so hairy that it has a pubic turtleneck! So brow down, Armenian pride! I slick back my hair as I cruise to the west side! Glendale Galleria, Armani Exchange! Gonna get a silk shirt within my price range! Marlboro cigarettes and cologne! Gonna go back to my shop and then I'll slang more cell phones! That's right, bro.
It's my favorite part.
You know what it's like. Life of Armenian player, huh? Hit that chorus one more time.
Brown
Ale! Brown
Ale!
Bro!
Brown Ale!
I want to thank the Bill Handel Show at KFI for allowing us to play that here this morning. They do good work there on the AM 640.
It's funny. I heard that Bean just arranged Mike to sing that live on Bill's show. So it's great that he's farming out the talent.
I want to thank our special guest, Harvey Levin, for joining us today, as always, from TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, and, of course, TMZ Television, 6:30 each weeknight on Channel 11. Tomorrow, very big, I guess it's our last show before the Super Bowl, of course, and we have packed it full of great stuff related to the big game.
We have Jeremy Mullman, who is an ad age writer. He's going to talk to us about the commercials, of course. Yes. All but Lisa told us that she's going to miss the game, go out to a movie or whatever, tape it, and then go back and fast forward through the game to get to the commercials.
I love the commercials, and I want to see the really bad entertainment.
Aren't you banging some big Boston guy, some big Boston fan or something?
Oh, yeah.
How are you going to miss the game?
He runs the marathon. There's a marathon in Huntington Beach.
Well, what kind of a Patriots fan is he then?
And he's worthless after that. So he'll lay on a couch drooling watching the game. Oh. I'm not interested.
And you're not going to watch it with him.
He's drooling.
That's what she said.
So did the old guy he's been married to. He didn't leave him on the couch.
Trying to get away from
He'd wipe his chin and feed him some more tapioca.
Andrew Siciliano will be on the program tomorrow talking about Super Bowl.
Oh, I love him.
And from the Mandalay Bay, we're going to have an expert talking about the Super Bowl betting, which this is like no other event. You can bet on every single blade of grass that moves. It's crazy.
Can you really?
Maybe not. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Plus, tomorrow we have the K-Rock World Tour 2008 Destination Number 4 Grand Prize. We're going to send somebody to see Paramore in Berlin.
All right, Berlin.
So that's, nope.
See Berlin nope. in nope. Livermore.
Nope. No. It's right. Paramore in Berlin.
Terry
the city.
Nunn.
The city Berlin.
Coming back singing.
No.
Right. I think we also have an Metro. Update on our friend Sustainable Dave tomorrow, the guy who's been trying to live a life, now it's a month in, to not throw any trash away, which sounded like a stupid idea a month ago. I can't imagine he's still doing it, but we do have an update from him on how that's going. Anyone who decides to put all of his trash in the basement, I don't get it. Cat Corbett's up next, 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Modest Mouse is going to be part of that. Also, Foo Fighters, we got Red Hot Chili Peppers, and the new one from Calvin Von Soki, all after this on K-Rock.